The Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
WPGC, Scott Shannon, till midnight tonight. Let me take you back to 1960. This record was number one for I don't know how many weeks. And boy, it was a very popular. It's one of the songs everybody sings when they're riding around the car, you know, a little juiced up, having a great time. And we were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far when that's when you get the idea. This is Mark Denny, Teen Angel.
Shut up, stupid.
WPGC and Shannon with the oldies till midnight tonight. Let me take you back to 1967. One of my favorite Smokey Robinson the Miracles hits. The love I saw in you was just a mirage.
WPGC. Hello, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. With your contribution to care, backed by needy people's willingness to work, families are fed as men build roads, safer water systems, modest homes, small clinics, feeding centers, and schools, and women work in the fields growing food. Through care, children at least have a chance to live and grow. Now's the time to help care help...
Wait, why are we listening to
the microphone open. That's
with Chevy Chase.
Important message.
The millions of people around the world who still need the means to help themselves.
Send your check or money order to CARE.
Okay, come on.
28 Connecticut.
Where's some more
Washington,
Shannon?
D.C. 200.
Shut up, stupid.
PGC and the oldies. Occasionally I get a call from listeners who call the station and ask me if I've ever worked in Buffalo, New York on WKBW. Well, the answer is no. But the reason people ask me that is because there's a disc jockey for years up there by the name of Tom Shannon. He later made a switch. He works in Detroit at station CKLW. But the point of this little story is that while Tom Shannon was in Buffalo, he produced records on the
Elvis
side.
Elvis Shannon.
When he wasn't on the radio doing the disc jockey work. In the spring of 59, he took a young group of local musicians into the studio.
This was around the time
instrumental record,
that we were breaking into the master tape room.
Only they could ever have. The name of the group, the Hot Toddies, the song, Rockin' Crickets.
He would come in on Sunday night, have a couple of drinks.
You see? Yeah. Let's get some more Presley on here. One of his biggest. His first two-sided hit, One Side Hound Dog, and this is the other side, Don't Be Cruel.
Anyway.
Wow.
Side.
Anyway, there's some Michael
Scott Shannon for you.
He was either extremely tired or he was loaded.
Yeah.
Very tired.
Tired. Midnight.
Very tired.
How are you, Scott Shannon? You might remember this one. This is a good one. I just want to go home.
Two-sided Elvis Presley.
Yeah, one side was Hound Dog and this was the other side of PGC.
You know, that is a long way, and I don't know where Rob found that tape, but that's from 1980, which is right around the time that I was working with the guy with the story that I told the other day.
Right.
And when he would fill in as a regular DJ, when he wasn't doing his Sunday night, I'm on at 10 o'clock, so I'm going to play whatever I want.
Right.
His delivery was much more like you hear in the other tape that we
what
have.
Was
you
he
know.
10 to midnight on Sunday night?
Yeah. Normally it was like, you know, WPGC. This is Super Shant. But on this
How night, are you? This is the kind of radio I've always wanted to do.
You get deep into it, there's a little bit of take a breath before you talk, Scott.
Real, well, that usually.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll play my favorite songs.
WPGC.
See, here's a song that's the flip side of the other song.
Hope you enjoy it.
Weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
Joe. There it is.
Joe. Joe.
I love that.
Joe.
I really love that.
So you want to set some parameters today, Joe?
During low budget Jeopardy?
Yes.
You can call in with cell phones, but you have to be at home or at work. You can't be in your car.
I love it when we look behind the scenes.
It is exciting.
Now, listen.
See what the rules are.
Here's the deal. It was 1 week ago today that we were doing much the same show that we're going to do for you today. with some of the gags in different spots.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the Jeopardy bit, Mike's bit.
Right.
And the first part is Mike does the bit, and then we ask dumb questions. And it's really just a way to facilitate. God, I'm really over-explaining, but too bad. It's a way to facilitate more hijinks
right.
between, you know, the character that has walked into the room.
Whoever that's character.
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 And the questions are really inconsequential, but at the same time, they're made to be amusing, so you can play along at home, because really, a dead retard could answer the questions. Last week, we had two contestants on the telephone. And they could not have been more, with no offense to any cavemen listening who do ads for Geico, you know, Jap Attack. No offense intended to any Orientals as far as
I'll have the duck, the mango salsa.
I've lost my appetite.
I don't have much of an appetite.
So, when you run a commercial 7,000 times, you remember it.
So the deal is that we get these two apes on the show last week.
You're going to win some mo when you go to the stove.
And this one idiot, this one monkey,
yeah.
this one guy who should have been living in a forest somewhere.
Right.
You know, Tarzan has got his two-way radio on. I don't know.
It was a communication truck for some sort of, you know, I hate it when sounds go off.
A two-way radio in the background.
It's like nobody, is that your new phone already?
No, that's my old phone that I forgot to turn off.
I thought you turned it off.
I thought I turned it off, too.
No coughing, Joe.
Oh, my right. God.
You turned it on
what,
to take
Mike?
My picture.
Nothing.
You turned it on to take my picture.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Hold on. We're getting to parameters with Joe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The deal is that we had these two callers who were just idiots. They couldn't answer the simplest questions. Dumb people are great. I'm a dumb guy, but I'm not calling it to play a stupid game.
Especially a game that would be, you know, as dumb as the questions are, though, a brain teaser game.
Yes. Yeah, so anyway, said to Joe, you know, every phone line is ringing. Got 20 lines ringing with people wanting to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows how many untold other tens of people who are calling and getting a busy signal.
Right.
So you say, this is the best, the cream of the crop that you can get.
It was truly astonishing. I don't believe in the entire time we've been playing that game on this show, we have had dumber callers.
So, Joe says, it's the parameters. Now, I go back and I ask and I found out what's going on. And apparently this has now been a hierarchy from producer to producer to producer to
passed
producer.
Down over the years.
Now, I understand, with no offense to our current producer, Rob Spiewak, who's working on, incidentally, his second six-week contract with us.
Oh, Rob, that's wonderful news.
Congratulations on that. You know, I think everybody knows that the buck stops here,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they're producer in title only in this puppet government that we have. That they're all good paper pushers and they're all good, behind-the-scenes people. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, I do the show and Mike does the show with me, and that's pretty much the way that it goes.
Right. And when was the last time, seriously, you even paid attention to that little detail back there?
Never.
That parameter.
Never, never.
That parameter.
So here's my point. Because you have these producers, mm-hmm. all of them hardworking, and many of them who've gone on to fine things, and many of them who've gone on to not so fine things,
mm-hmm.
they all have, I'm sure, a level of frustration. They're the producer and title of the show,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like a lot of people picture.
No.
It's not like we sit around before the show, and for instance, Rob, our current producer of the last 6 weeks.
Right.
I love speaking about him like he's some new schmuck that's just joined us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for hiring me.
Yeah. Well, like Rob and I sit around and he goes, okay, now here's the plan. You come out, you've got your monologue with Mike.
Right.
Then I think you should really, you know, like turn and talk about Oprah.
Uh-huh. Here's your script.
And then after that, now we're going to have a phoner, and I think you guys should take this direction with it. It don't work like that. It's just whatever comes out of our mouth.
Right.
So there's a level of frustration, and I understand it with the producers that we've had. And I think with some of the producers, because they desperately want to produce.
Run something.
But they're not allowed to.
Uh-huh.
They can go back in the back room, and they can make life for Joe and all of the previous Joes
mm-hmm.
a living hell.
That's right.
By telling them that the parameters for Jeopardy had to be such that really you couldn't get on the real Jeopardy.
That's right.
If you were trying, first off, you had to be on a landline.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that was a parameter.
Now, this was a parameter. Mm-hmm. We didn't know about this.
No.
Jesus Christ, everybody calls from a cell.
Mm-hmm.
You
these
know,
days, yes.
You just check and you see if it's a strong cell and you stay
right
on the phone with them for a second. If it goes away, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But you can generally tell if it's strong or it's weak. So that's one bad parameter Joe was given.
Right.
Here's another one.
The thing about the cell phone is that parameter made sense when it was instituted 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. When people
but not
didn't go and cell phones dropped out a lot. Right.
Here's
right
another one.
Right.
Name the Great Lakes.
Where'd now, that one come from?
Now, again,
our questions are never that.
We ever find the author of that one?
Again, I'm not. Oh, that's Spiewak.
Really? You did
oh,
that?
I think it goes.
An easy one.
Oh, I thought it went back farther than that.
Yeah, but he may have contributed it before he was actually the producer.
That's possible, yeah.
I screened a call or two in my day.
That's right.
But that was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not that answering that question correctly would make you a bad contestant. It's that you probably could have. Did those guys answer the Great Lakes question?
That sounds like a typical Rob question. Well, can you answer this?
You ask that of
Rob Spiewak, friend O listener?
Did you ask that of last week's contestants, Joe?
No,
the Great Lakes? No,
I didn't ask anybody
that
year.
Question.
Hold on,
I always forget how much pleasure it is to have Joe on the
show. First, Rob, put headphones on.
Even if they don't,
eight people talking at the same time.
Even if they don't answer the Great Lakes question, it's a good gauge if they get some of them.
No. Rob, I gotta disagree with you. No, Great Lakes is too tough. Here's the thing for both of you guys. Jesus Christ, I really do have to do everything.
What's so great about them anyway?
Here's all we ask for, Joe. And I know I speak for Mike in this regard, and everybody listening. Just get two people. Just you know, how tough is
who
it
can speak
to pick up the phone and say, "Hi, how you doing? Do you want to play the game? Do you listen to the show all
you
the time?"
You do it with callers all the time. You listen to their tone.
Right.
And if they're being mouth breathers, you know right away. We know right away. Everybody on the show knows right
so
away.
So, Joe, the parameters are this. Just right. Yeah, no mouth breathers.
That's
just,
it.
You know, we don't have to give people a goddamn SAT question before they're going to come on and tell
or
us.
Or even
you know,
more broad than that. You just say, "Are you like the show? You listen all the time? Are you a fan of like game shows? Do you like to play?" And if the guy is like, "Yeah, just do this."
Right.
You hang up. I don't know if the guy goes, "Yeah, I like this. I think I can play the game pretty well."
Joe?
Right.
How are those parameters working for you, buddy?
I'm going to ask him what the capital of Florida is. Those parameters are great, and let's not forget the parameter of fun.
Now, hold on. What do you mean by, and remember, you can't spell fun without F-U.
I don't know. Somebody wrote it for me and put it in my lap.
Let's not forget to have fun.
Who wrote that, John?
No, Johnny no didn't write. Who wrote that?
I gave him that.
Oh.
I thought he might need something at the end, and I thought it would be clever if he said,
"No,
Don, the
hold
only
on
important parameter is fun."
Now, hold on. See, first Buzz.
Well, Buzz has the delivery.
First, yes, it is much funnier with Buzz's delivery.
Of course.
Second,
he's a trained professional.
May I mention to you that you're on this side, Buzz?
Yeah, I know.
Now, come on. I don't need you feeding lines back there to them.
But see, I thought that would help this side.
No, but obviously it didn't.
Clearly it didn't.
How did he get it back there?
Yeah, that's a good question,
you
Rob.
You didn't see me get up and leave while you were talking?
You know, we skirted by a beautiful moment on the show, which I hope everybody that has ever had an employee that they've needed to lecture might have missed.
What?
And that was when we got done with that very concise and I think accurate description of what we required of Joe, that he said, "Right." And it indicated to everyone, I believe, that was listening and in this room, that it did not register.
No, I said, "Right. This is how it will be."
All right, so we're not going to have a problem today.
So how is it going to go? Just kind of recap what Don told you.
Well, people will call. I'll ask them how long they listen to the show, if they're familiar with the game, like I always do. I'll go through the rules.
Oh, no, not like you always do, because if it was like you always did, we wouldn't have had those two mongoloids we had last week.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it probably shouldn't be anything like you always
do. Well, there were extenuating circumstances due to the parameters that I was formerly aware of.
Oh, my God.
Here are the new parameters, Joe. Give the phone to John.
No.
I know something.
What?
I know that Joe didn't get laid this morning.
Perhaps you're wrong again, Spiewak.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
Did you, Joe?
Well.
No, you didn't, did you?
Yes, I did.
You did?
You got laid again.
Trace had the day off.
Then your new limit is once a week.
And only after 7 p.m.
He does not get it.
All right, now I can tell Joe that you don't want to give up this responsibility, and
I
say,
"We'll do better."
I say, "Good for you." This is like a boy on a paper route.
He'll do better.
This is like a boy on a paper route, and the papers have not gotten there on time, and Mrs. Krebs is called to say that her paper was in the bushes, and I'm going to take the account away from you, but no, we're going to give you one more chance to get on your bicycle and go out with your copy of Grip. Which really now is, I mean, if anybody gets that joke.
Yeah.
Well, without Mrs. Krebs' account, I won't get the box of Christmas cards.
If anybody understands what Grit is, let me just say, how are those Depends working out for you? Jesus, H. Christ. Joe?
Yeah.
Just do better. Chill out. Life
is a breeze.
Of course, somebody's 100 miles an hour from where the hurricanes.
I just thought I'd pass that along.
You ever wonder about the club?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about the club.
Well, it's been a long time since we played that tape.
Joe?
Yes.
Look forward to working with you today.
That's right. I will do better. I'm inspired.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. Sometimes it is like Tom Gavin.
But he got laid. So I think that while normally we deal with less than 100% Joe on Friday, I believe because of the transfusion of fluids today, of bodily fluids, that we are working with a higher octane
Joe.
I'm
afraid I can't agree with that. Based on Buzz's news story yesterday, that you are more relaxed if you give a speech after getting laid.
Right.
This is a man who cannot be more relaxed.
Perhaps too relaxed.
He wants to move in the other direction.
Yeah.
All right, ciao.
Good day.
Good day.
By the way, did you know there's www.grit.com?
Is it still for a magazine or a newspaper for boys to sell?
Stories of American Life and Tradition.
Wow, it's still around.
Are they hiring?
Bye, idiots.
Good day.
Wait, I'm locking the door.
Honest to God, put a bolt lock on it.
Hey, well, thanks, Buzz.
You bet.
Buzz sending one-liners over there.
That was quite a laugh Buzz had back there. That's more than he normally offers.
I like this.
I was entertained.
The next time you're going to send him a joke, like, indicate.
There won't be any.
Indicate that there should be that air of sarcasm that you had.
Yeah,
when you delivered the lines.
It's too much work. It's just easier not to do it.
WPGC, Shannon with the oldies. Let me take you back now for a number one song, April 1960, Percy Faith.
Is that? Wow, that's tight.
Yeah,
he's a better DJ than that.
Yeah. Yes, he sure is.
He sure is, Mike.
April 1960.
Okay.
Percy Faith.
Yeah. What's your laughing place?
Oh, everybody's got a laughing place.
Yeah, sing it, Daddy-O. Thank you.
Takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Yeah. Or between 2 and 6 or between noon and 4. Or you can check your local listing.
The Don and Mike Show.
And listen to this.
Hello.
I got us a new CD machine.
Even sounds better.
Hello.
I take it back. It's pre-owned.
Huh?
But who cares?
As long as it works.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. That's because Michael Hughes knows how to get things done.
He's a can-do guy. Hello.
Listen, here's the solicitor.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Today we'll start with the Four Seasons, featuring Frankie Valli, who is going to be featured again on Sopranos this year, whenever that starts up.
Good.
It's a great one. Who loves you, pretty baby? He was in and then he was out.
Here he comes in again.
Now you're not saying anything. Just say something. It's not a Dr. Phil tape today. And it's not the Super Jew tape.
Do you have a new intro for Rob today?
Yes, it's very brief.
We're all very excited.
Ah, they're good.
Okay, here we go. Try this on.
Great big fart.
What are you spying on me? Hey,
how's your
Faye Dunaway upper plate?
My God. Faye Dunaway's teeth last night, if you watch CSI, she has teeth really as big as dinner plates.
Yeah.
These fake Regis Philbin veneers.
Wow.
I really thought they were setting up a gag when they were going to put a black light on them and they would glow.
At one point, I thought I had found a bootleg of King Kong. Because you know the scene where it's just Kong's mouth?
Sure.
And he's holding Naomi Watts up?
Faye Dunaway on Skull Island.
Yeah, that's right.
Does she have the big gums?
Yeah.
Cool?
Yeah. Just a mouthful of teeth.
And she still looks like Mommy Dearest, even though for her age, Faye Dunaway looks pretty good.
She's quite the diva, you know.
I found out her age. 42.
Right.
Good afternoon, Mr. And you know, he is a better DJ than that.
Yes, he is.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Super Shan and all the ships at sea. Hey, you may not think they'll be able to get that whole towel down your throat, but they will.
They will.
Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Robin. Hello, everybody. This is it. As loose as a girl's dress on prom night. Donna Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody, on this Friday. Right, 01-27-06.
Hi, Donna Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
As a retarded, you can call this show anytime. Here's our toll-free telephone number, 877-365-3636. If you're listening on Free FM, a great experiment in failure. That's the new logo for the station. Great experiment in failure.
Hello.
Free FM. You can call us at 202-432-1067. And we're also on the internet with our delightful stream.
Oh, there it is.
If you go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com, click on Listen Live.
From here, that looks outstanding.
Look closer, Mike. Look closer. That's right. You see what that is?
Hold on
metal?
Hold on.
Let me just buffer a little bit. Little pieces of hot dog.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought it was metal.
Little pieces of... Well, hold on. Let me turn the stream back on. You know, darn it, you're right. Look at that. It's hot dog and metal shavings.
Like, man, don't drink that. And that won't be absorbed into the body.
So the stream is there.
Yeah.
Just, have yourself a nice shake.
At your own risk.
Have yourself a shake. There you go. Or fries, whatever you like. And there it is. And now, if you're on the internet and you want to call the show and you can't use an 877 number because you're, like, out of the country or something, you can call 800-636-1067. And you can electronically mail us anytime at DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Wow. We are open to everything.
Except crap.
Right.
Okay?
We're not taking any of that.
Mm-hmm. It's the year of the ass on the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, we have to be careful, even though our borders are open.
Are we L&L?
Hello?
Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. Percy Faith, 1960.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello there.
How are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. I just want to see what your call for the Super Bowl is.
Call for the Super Bowl. You're asking for a prediction?
Yes.
It's difficult for me to say. Must be Friday.
Exciting. I think exciting. A nail biter, I predict.
And I love hearing you guys from Sacramento.
I mean, I think it's going to be like every Super Bowl.
Well, no, I think by the sixth or seventh inning, it'll be all over.
You can't say that because the last like maybe out of the last five, two or three have been pretty decent games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know right now. Probably Seattle.
No call yet?
Probably Seattle.
I thought you said Pittsburgh was going to win.
Well, I'm thinking more now that I might root for Seattle.
Well, I'll root for Seattle just because the Pittsburgh fans are so darn popular.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting all the press coverage. That's really the way I decide. If I don't care about either team, I go on which fans are like being more obnoxious and getting more time. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, they're the greatest fan, terrible towel.
Well, you guys are great. You guys are great. I just started listening to you probably within the last year, and... Oh. Love you out here.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is not eHarmony, but thank you. Thank you for the information.
I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren.
Most people send you a picture and a paragraph.
I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren.
I'm Dr. Neil Clark Hughes.
All right. There was a time when I enjoyed activities with animals. But I've put it behind me now.
But it's still in my profile. Very, very exciting.
Now, were you going to say Seattle's got their gimmicks, too, or other teams
no,
have gimmicks?
No, I feel bad. I'm starting to feel bad for Seattle. I'm starting to feel that underdog vibe. Mm-hmm. Even though I truly think that Pittsburgh's a better team, and I do think right now they're going to win like most people do. No, the thing is, the Seattle fans can't be obnoxious because what have they ever had? I mean, really?
And that's another
sports-wise,
reason. That's another reason I root for them, because I think they're not a bad sports town up there. And, you know, you pointed out to me, though, I guess like so many football teams, you get certain franchises. The Redskins have fans, whether they're winning or losing. You have other teams around. But you pointed out to me that prior to their winning, they were having a little tough time drawing up there.
Yeah, well, when that stadium first opened up, they were not selling out all the time.
Right.
Because they stunk.
But you're right. I like to see a city that hasn't had any success. That to me is what makes it exciting. And Pittsburgh, my God. Well, how many did they rattle off?
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Steelers fans would say. It's been 10 years since they've even been in a Super Bowl, and they lost that one.
Yeah, and they have to deal with, as far as baseball, they've had to deal with the Pirates for a while.
Hello?
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 You guys are great. I love you.
Are you drinking already on this Friday?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
What I'm wondering is, did you hire Rob Spiewak because of his outstanding work on The Wedding Show? Click.
Absolutely.
The Wedding Show.
Absolutely.
Award-winning.
The Wedding Show. God.
The Wedding Show. The Wedding Show.
Hey, come on.
I took him out.
You don't have him
yet. You had your little wedding show IDs?
Not in the computer anymore. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, this is Chili checking in on the iceberg.
Now, hold on a second, dude.
You making a reference to this lineup on the station like Don made yesterday looking like the Titanic?
But you said you were Chili?
That's right.
Now, what is that joke? Explain it. It's not funny, explain it.
Wendy's hot chili or what? I don't get it.
I just wanted to check in with you guys and let you guys know that I'm still out here. And I know that you're heading my way. So I'll be looking for you.
Are you calling from the perspective of the iceberg?
Correct.
I see. So he's kind of a good guy.
So when you said you were Chili, you were...
I am the iceberg.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. So when he said he was Chili, I thought he meant C-H-I-L-I.
Right.
And actually he meant C-H-I-L-L-Y.
Right.
He was Chili.
No,
but
that's what all my friends call me.
But he never indicated...
No, it's a terrible joke.
...that he was the iceberg.
Yeah.
I think you got to bring it out. I think you got to dispatch him. I really do. Look at how much work we had to put in to explain this.
Son, you know what you're like? You're like a herpetic horse. You don't want to do it, but you got to.
Right.
Have you heard about that? I mean,
no.
This is all
horses
I have been,
with herpes?
This is all I have been reading about. Every day on the sports page, they have a little column on the second page about Pimlico up in Baltimore and about how a bunch of... I can't believe I haven't brought this up yet because the news is so old in the horse racing circles that... An incredible amount of the horses at Pimlico have come down with herpes.
Oh, my God.
And
well, they're so promiscuous.
And now it's spread to some other racetrack where, two horses have croaked because of it.
Oh, yeah, because in horses it can be fatal.
And and in people, too. I mean, how we've lost a couple of our producers, let's be honest. They've died of herpes.
I understand those horses wouldn't take their pills every day, too. They thought it was a hassle.
They're sugar cubes. They're herpes sugar cubes.
Wow.
And horse gonorrhea, how's that? I mean, is that a problem as well?
Does anybody have, I bet there's something, I may have read it in today's, dare I say we have the Washington Post anywhere here?
Sports section?
Yeah, I think so. I know I've read about it and have had it in my notes to talk about it.
Sure. Horse herpes.
That the fact that all the horses of Pimlico have herpes.
Man, oh man. Well, even if you won the Kentucky Derby, you couldn't kiss the horse then.
Right. You shouldn't.
You don't want to really kiss a horse anyway.
Well.
Depending.
I've kissed a few. I know you have, too.
Hello. My name is Mr. Ed.
I know you have, too, bud. We've all done our share of horse kissing.
Yeehaw.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, cello.
Yeah, you guys are great. Hey, I just agree with you, Don, about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they'll win, but you just got to hate their stupid announcer. That guy's got the squirreliest voice in the world.
Myron Cope is, if you're speaking of Myron Cope, Myron Cope is retired.
Oh, he is? He's not announcing anymore?
There you go. Why talk with that herpetic horse about the fact
right.
that it was highly publicized
easier.
That Myron Cope retired last year? Why waste valuable time?
What was Myron Cope? Was he the radio or PA announcer?
He was the radio guy. I mean, I know you would know his voice if you heard it. Okay. I know you'd know it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I think you're a hypocrite.
Why did he retire? Did he change his...
That's right.
Hold on. I am a hypocrite, yes.
Did he change his middle name to Couldn't?
Well, I think you're a hypocrite because you don't want to talk about American Idol.
Myron Couldn't Cope?
So he had to quit.
Hold on a second. I was Mike, now stop making me laugh when I'm trying to get in a discussion with one of my peers.
I know. So this guy is...
I am a hypocrite, yes. Go ahead. Let's bring it on. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you don't want to talk about American Idol.
Right. It's for faggots. Hey!
But you talk about football. You afraid you're going to lose listeners talking about American Idol, but you talk about football.
Okay, now, just one moment, my dim-witted friend, before I put the gun in your mouth.
Yeah, it's down at his side. I see it.
Before I put the gun in your mouth, please understand, I didn't bring the talk of Super Bowl up. One of our wonderful callers did. I engaged them as I would engage any caller.
You wouldn't engage American Idol.
Yes, we have engaged.
Very emotional.
Now, listen to me, Secretariat. We have, in fact, talked about American Idol after it's been on both days this week.
Yes, we have.
We even played the tapes.
Oh, your secretary's Rob. And have a good day.
I what?
It's not worth it.
Something. See what happened? Now I'm just firing in the air.
We had him. He was right there. And he got away. I hate it when they get away. Oh, that kills me when they get away like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and your secretary's Rob. I have no idea what he was talking about.
Well, I can't get through to the offices back there.
May I get you a cup of coffee?
Danish. They got Danish there.
Danish? Good Danish.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, we got the stuff about herpes. Hello.
Mike?
Yes.
I have a complaint for you.
Yes?
Wow.
I tried your calamari sampler.
Yes.
And there was evidence of...
Shut up.
Don't worry. Everybody in the building hit the delay on that. Don't worry.
Wow.
That's not true.
Wow.
I don't think that's true.
No, yeah. Probably not.
It happened to me one time in your restaurant. Nobody heard it.
It almost makes it worse.
I thought it was delicious.
It is delicious.
I thought it was delicious.
It's the best.
I thought it was a mushroom.
It's the best.
I said, I didn't order mushrooms on it. I said, well, I'll try it. You'll like it. Here you go. Laurel Park cancels racing because of herpes virus outbreak.
Wow.
Unable to round up enough horses to fill races, the Maryland Jockey Club yesterday was forced to cancel racing at Laurel Park.
Wow.
For this week and Feb 4 because of the outbreak of the herpes virus that has led to the quarantine of all horses stabled at Pimlico Racecourse.
So this is apparently quite serious in horses.
It's serious. It sounds funny, but it's serious.
Yes, it's serious in humans, too. Before you get a chance to say that again, when I sound like I'm diminishing it, don't worry about it.
If only horses would wear rubbers.
That's right.
Now, I know that they're bigger than humans. I've seen the movies, but I don't see why. I don't see why we just can't make horse rubbers.
Is this what causes saddle sores?
Oh, God.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody. I'm here all week.
Goodbye, Rob. Goodbye. Let's see. It's never ending, the fallout from herpes, horse herpes.
That's true.
January 5, that's the first time they found a horse with herpes at Pimlico.
Wow.
Let me see. We were drawing for Sunday. We finally hit a brick wall with our entries. By 1:30, we had 3 fields made. We had 8 horses, and 2 had 6 horses. That's the best we can do. They could only come up with 14 horses to race who did not have herpes.
They give any details about what the virus does besides, like,
Obviously,
well,
it's
makes
a
their
different...
balls itch.
But obviously, they can't race. I mean, you know, people with herpes can, you know, besides that thing on their lip, they can walk around and do their
right.
thing.
I think maybe the horses get it on
their privacy.
I think so.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, people can work, obviously, with that in the
yeah,
human
like,
world, too.
Yeah, but like you don't see our sprinters at the Olympics. I mean, imagine if you had herpetic sores all over your genitalia and you put on one of those real skin tight suits and you were going to run real fast.
Probably hurt.
Wouldn't the friction like make you go ow?
I would think it would hurt, yeah. But yeah. But usually, you know, you can cover yourself up. Why don't they just put like some Speedos on the horses?
The burning might make them run faster.
Yeah, really. I mean, as a matter of fact, if anything, soak them in lemon juice before they run.
Just another reason to be proud that you're from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Be proud that you're listening to this show on 105.7.
Even the horses have STDs.
It's amazing. That city. What is the deal?
The horses got all the females got them right on their horse daisies.
Oh,
wow. And if one female horse has it,
yeah. Forget it.
They all have it.
They all got it. And so's Marty Bass.
Marty, I knew it. You know what? You knew his name would have to service at some point.
So's Marty Bass.
Hello. What a shame at all these horses. They all got the herpes.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's going down?
Maybe we could send Cal down to the stables to talk to the horses.
What's going up? What's happening? I mean, what's going down? You know what I meant. I mean, come on. What's up?
All right, well, herpes doesn't always have symptoms, right? So you said that if you die from herpes, but you don't know you have symptoms, then they could just lose all the horses or put them all down. Right?
Hold on. I don't even know what you're saying.
Your point?
What did we say or did I say that I read? I don't understand your point. Please start again.
Right. You said earlier that you could die from herpes, right?
Horses have died from herpes.
Horses can.
Horses have.
Yes,
well,
horses have.
Isn't it true that herpes doesn't always show symptoms?
In humans.
In humans.
You know, I am sensing a dickish tone to this telephone call. Why is that?
Oh, no. I'm not being a dick. I'm sorry if I'm going off that way.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you. He handed me the gun.
Take that!
He didn't get away.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, howdy.
How you doing? Don, I got a question for you. What is the best way to store... I just got a box of Cohiba Esplendidos.
All right. And I hope they're real, not fake. But
no, they came from Russia. A friend of mine brought them back from Russia.
All right, so you got some good quality Cuban cigars. Good for
how
you.
Do I store them? I do not have a humidor. What's the best way to store them?
This now, is going
to
hurt a little.
Wow. Well, you got to find a moist spot.
I think the best thing for you to do, my friend, would be to what airport do you live nearest to?
No, it's not. I'm in California.
What airport do you live nearest to?
Oakwood.
Oakwood or Oakland?
Oakland.
Oakland International Airport.
Okay. Go there and turn them in immediately to TSA.
Or just ask the nice men from Customs how to store them.
They will store them for you.
Go there and turn them in immediately. I cannot even be talking to you about Cuban cigars. Are you kidding me? I'm not kidding. They flagged my passport. I was inappropriately touched.
Body cavity search.
When I was in the Tampa airport just 3 weeks ago because of cigars. No, listen, the real answer is you want to store them at 70 degrees at about 70% humidity. And you get to buy yourself a humidor and a thing that tells you what the temperature is and what the
But if he doesn't have a, if he doesn't have a
then just
humidor, you can put them in Tupperware.
Yeah, or just put them in a brown paper bag and run in your front yard and scream like a chicken. That is from the Dick Van Dyke Show that I watched today.
Oh, I see.
A great one. Do you remember? Now I'm looking at the wrong people. Rob.
Yes.
Hi, friend.
Hi there.
Do you remember the one where they're prank calling Rob? Where Buddy has a guy that prank calls Rob and says, I'm from the telephone company. And Rob Petrie says, yeah. And they said, we think we have a problem on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's talking to Rob Petrie, on the it's a group of people having a party. They're recording this phone call.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's making the phony phone call to Rob Petrie is going like this. on the phone with a spoon. And Rob Petrie's saying, do you hear that clicking? And the guy on the other line's going, no, I don't hear it. And they get him to take apart his phone. And anyway, you know, hijinks ensue.
Of course,
because right. The punchline is that when they finally get done with him, he's got the phone apart in 8,000 little pieces, and he has the earpiece out of the phone and the mouthpiece out of the phone. It's a 1960s phone, and he says, okay, it seems to be working now. And then again, the guy goes like this. And Rob Petrie says, well, what should I do? And the guy says, well, do you have a brown paper bag? And he says, yes. He says, get all the parts, the whole telephone, everything. Go out your front yard. Put them over your head and scream like a chicken. And the room erupts into laughter because Rob Petrie thinks that, why are you looking at me like I'm retarded?
I'm not. Because, I'm listening.
So he got this practical joke played on him. And when he shows...
And that's the kind of look I was giving you.
Who
was doing it?
Buddy Sorrell was.
One of his co-comedy writers.
They were having a cocktail party.
You said this guy.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
Why didn't you say Buddy Sorrell? Then I wouldn't have given you that look.
But it wasn't Buddy Sorrell. It was some other guy. It was a friend of Buddy Sorrell's.
Well, why did Buddy Sorrell have a friend do it?
Because that's
he was playing the joke on Rob and he didn't want his voice to be recognized.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
To be the phone repair guy.
I don't know. Well, for whatever
but
the
Buddy
reason...
Buddy Sorrell set up the practical joke.
Yes.
Buddy says, doesn't he say something like, I got someone who would be great to play a joke on. And then they call Rob?
Yeah, so they call Rob, and then what happens is later, Rob gets back at Buddy.
And he plays a practical joke on Buddy?
And what's great is it's not
the hell out of him.
It's not really Rob playing the joke. It's the guy who made the phone call to Rob playing the joke on Buddy. And the joke is they come back and they say, Buddy, your wife, Pickles, has herpes. And she got it from a horse.
That's incredible. And the hilarity ensues.
Ties together.
And now I am just wishing that I wish I had a time machine and I could go back 3 minutes.
No.
I don't know why I even brought this up.
Did they run the tag scene where Pickles really does have herpes and then she perishes?
No, don't try to help me. There's plenty of room in this hole. I don't need you in here with me. I just throw some dirt on me.
Pickles.
Hello there.
Yeah.
Pickles Sorrell.
Pickles Sorrell. And you didn't even once mention Rose Marie.
She had a very small part in the episode, Mike.
Oh, really?
She sat there. It was right. I believe the party was at her house. She sat there, something like that.
Taking care of Rob and Buddy.
That's right.
And Mel Cooley.
Mel.
And then revealing to everyone shocked that she is a, you know, from at least the waist down.
A man. Totally a man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but what a piece of ass Laura Petrie was.
In her day.
Amen.
Good old Mary Tyler Moore. Not like she is now.
She had a lot of fashion trends, too.
I turned on that 70s show for a couple seconds last night.
How was that? Dancing skeleton?
Trying to see Dick Van Batten. And I saw, Mary Tyler Moore, who really should, like, call the funeral director now.
Make payments.
Either that or go to McDonald's. Because she is just too thin, and she got the skeleton mouth.
Mm-hmm. You could actually team her up with Faye Dunaway, couldn't you?
Oh, my.
Have you got those choppers together?
I think that Mary Tyler's more teeth are smaller.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Faye Dunaway's last night on CSI were just absolutely gigantic.
I think Mary Tyler Moore's teeth are the right size. The face is just shrinking around it.
Yes. They would be spooky together. That's
right. Oh, yeah.
Yesterday was a day. Today was a day that it just seems like my stupid life revolves around stupid TV, like watching Dick Van Dyke.
You're not necessarily alone this time of year. That's really, especially in the East and in the North, that's what people do.
I watched part of my West Wing. I got to be the last guy in the world that still TiVo's the West Wing. I watched part of the episode of that was on last week. Then I watched the Oprah. We've got some tapes of Oprah.
Mm-hmm. Can I just compliment Oprah? I'd really like to compliment her. I'm being so brave.
Okay.
Very brave. Way to go, Oprah. Way to make a stand. Turn that heat up just a little bit.
I got
Oprah bails, yeah.
I got so many questions. First, how'd she get the schmuck to come on the show?
Right.
You know.
Power, strong
arm. You know, much like when I said...
Yeah, come on the show for one reason, to make her ass look good.
Right. Yeah, like when I said with Richard Hatch, if in fact the people at CBS made a deal with Richard Hatch not to pay his tax, or to pay his taxes, or whatever the deal is, it seems to me that Richard Hatch could have stood up in court and said, I have a side deal with CBS. He's being very quiet about it. I wondered yesterday, why is Richard Hatch, in more ways than one, like, eating it for CBS? Why did this guy, eat it for Oprah. I mean, if he wrote a book that was supposed to be nonfiction and it is fiction.
You know why I think? Because she obviously was setting him up. I think she completely set him up. You know, she talks about the truth and honesty and everything. I would love to know what the producers said to this guy when they set that interview up, when they set it up for him to come on the show. Because I bet two things happened. Either she didn't let him know at all that she was going to double-cross him, which she did. She was the one who came to his defense on Larry King. And, you know, I'm not saying anything good about this guy. I'm saying with Oprah, she either totally didn't tell him she was going to do this, or they booked him under false pretenses, because I don't think he goes on the show if he's going to be her punching bag like he ended up being.
Two things. First, I watched the whole thing. We've got tapes of it. I wish she would have used her black voice a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If we could have used some of this.
Damn.
Yeah, we got the very white Oprah instead. You know,
yes.
I am embarrassed. I'm not sad. I'm embarrassed. When really, all this was just covering her ass.
Totally covering her. Once the heat got turned up.
On something that really, if you stop and think about it, in the scope of things.
Meaningless.
Who gives a flying...
I agree.
F.
I agree with
nobody
you.
Should.
The guy's got a book about being a drug addict and having bad things happen to him.
Made up a lot of his arrest record, a lot of the stuff that happened to him really didn't happen. But the way I understand it, I didn't read the book, but the book was a fascinating story about addiction.
I know a lot of people who read it,
mm-hmm.
and who have said, I talked to at least two people today who said, even after hearing that, they don't care.
Doesn't make any difference.
It was still a good book.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And normally, this would be like a story that you would see buried in the last 10 minutes of a newscast. It was, Rob Spiewak wrote a book about how great it was to be a circus acrobat. Well, it turns out someone got a look at him, and he's never really been an acrobat. But the book is a bestseller. Because it had the almighty Oprah...
That's right.
...book club. Oprah's angels.
Queen Oprah.
It's like, you know, Jesus Christ, honey. You're still just a girl from Baltimore doing a TV show.
Right.
You know, don't think you're really, seriously changing lives. You know what you are? You are the answer to Judge Joe Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You are the answer to Judge Judy. You're the answer to reruns of Married with Children.
Yeah.
I mean, you're simply a programming option at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You have become wildly popular and successful, but you are a successful television performer.
And that's it.
And
but also, a lot of people said this is something she is totally unaccustomed to.
And
even the slightest amount of grief. I think that's why she waited for years and years not to go on Letterman.
And the other tape that we've got to play for you is that now they got the publisher from the book, from the book company sitting up there.
Mm-hmm.
And Oprah's going to give her the evil eye, too.
Right.
And Oprah says to her, how could you let this happen? I came to you. Now, this is someone from Doubleday or Random House, whatever
right.
it is. It's a major publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman says, we didn't check all the facts because it's like a real-life story, and generally when people come with real-life stories as riveting as this one, this is how we do it.
Right.
And Oprah sits there in judgment and says, well, I would have checked. And then the audience is like...
Yeah. I know.
Yes, you go, girl.
They're such easy targets. I mean, everybody knows. The story's been out for weeks that this guy
made
the story up.
How'd they get him, Mike? How did they get the guy?
Don, I swear to God, maybe that too.
Uh-huh.
That's another option. None of it could have been pretty.
Right.
And when Oprah's up there talking about the truth, and the truth is so important to me, God, I mean, I've never seen anyone that believes her press more than Oprah Winfrey.
We're talking about some big fat ass that does a talk show for fat ass housefrows, and her big complaint is that her sticker that she put on her book that her housefrow zombies bought might somehow not be true. Here's the bottom line. Don't worry, Oprah. All of your zombies will still buy your crap.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry. Look at Martha Stewart, for God's sake.
Right.
She killed a guy. and people still buy her products.
after Martha Stewart went to prison for murder,
mm-hmm.
she got out, and people still support her.
That's right.
Yes, Oprah, he'll still buy the stupid books.
And people make that big deal about her book club that she sells books. You know what? We sell books, okay? Authors come on this show and books are sold. It's not that incredible an accomplishment. Well, if you sit there and talk for 2 hours about a book, you're going to sell it.
She thinks she's changing lives, because she's selecting books. Her rap will be, I'm selecting books that people wouldn't normally read. Because I am superior to everybody else, because I am Oprah, I will decide when it is appropriate for the American public to open their eyes and learn more. And, now I feel I've let America down because the man is not telling the truth.
And then that idiot just sits there, like he's not been made out to be the ultimate ass already on millions of other television shows. He sits there and has to take that.
I got the feeling that they, beat him with a rubber hose before the show.
She's got thugs, I'm sure.
He's just sitting there, and he's having to be lectured.
Right. Don't we remember any of the news stories when there was heat on shows like Oprah's, because she was as guilty as all the other shows, when they used to talk about what producers do to get some of these shows and get some of these people to come on? Let me tell you something. She's not immune from that. She is not. She may be the top of the food chain right now as far as TV talk shows, but she's not immune from any of that.
She would have cut loose. You know what I mean? You're pissed.
Always.
Well, not cut loose like that, but I always would like to see that. But you know what I mean?
No, she can't come out and say, you made me look like an ass. You know, she really can't come out and say, because that'll make her look bad. Right. That will make her look less royal.
And I wanted some of that, who did you think? You know, I would like for Queen Latifah to have played the role of Oprah yesterday.
Yes, right.
Now, you came on this show. You lied to me. I called Larry King. like she does when she's excited about a topic.
Right.
Because she can turn it on and turn it off. But yesterday we had the Oprah that gave the essence. I'm going to hold it all together. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold my rage inside. I'm going to speak to you in measured tones, but I'm going to let you know that you lied. So you said you were in jail for 87 days. How long were you really there?
yeah, the guy, the poor sap.
2 hours.
Which is really the way it is, way I understand it.
Why did you do that?
I never really saw jail time, Oprah. There was one time when I did spend an overnight for traffic tickets. Have you ever done drugs? Not exactly drugs.
Listen, here's the thing. Here's what she should have done. She should have come out and said, listen, I found out the guy was lying. That's really bad. But it's a good book, regardless if it's real or if it's fake.
Right.
And there are a lot of good messages you can get from the book. We're going to try to be a little more careful about the people whose books we pick. Now, join me in welcoming Jamie Foxx and Jamie Farr. She could have handled it in the first 2 minutes of her show.
Yeah, right, absolutely. No, but why not? Exploit the guy. When you're talking about doing such great jobs for mankind, how human is that to really just sit there and make the guy, the guy hasn't paid enough? Right. I mean, the guy really, but I guess the book is still selling, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not like he's not going to get that money from the book.
That's right.
And her backstage, she takes her wig off. She says, she says that she goes, God damn! I'm pissed! God damn! Mother effer!
Get him!
You embarrass me? You embarrass Harpo Incorporated? God damn it! You get his ass on the show!
That was the directive.
That's the real Oprah.
I'd love to know how they did it, though. I really, the guy's not all that bright to start with. He might be a good author, but he's not that bright a guy.
You get battery cables, and you hook one up to his gonad! I don't care!
Threats and intimidation. That could be it, too, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What about Oprah, the dirty whore who was talking about that storm in Paris?
Get a phone that works, please.
We did not shoot you. We just let you go. That was a bad, bad sell. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hi, I love your show.
Thanks.
The reason I'm calling is, I've read the book, and I'm also a fan of Oprah's, and I think this is really much ado about nothing.
Sure.
I mean, most things that have been published throughout history are inaccurate anyway.
I'm sure you're going to agree here, it's about, and I hope you're going to agree, otherwise one of us is going to shoot you. it's about Oprah covering her ass.
Absolutely. And, she should just say, so I was misled, but it's still great writing.
Right,
and
right.
And it's not whether really the facts are there or not. I think what's important is that this book has changed a lot of lives.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. They said the book is a wonderful, wonderful book about addiction, and it makes a lot of good points.
You know, I don't know what everybody's talking about, because I read it, and I just, page after page, I laughed out loud.
Right.
I mean, I found my laughing place, and it's with this guy's book. I mean, I used to think the only guy who could write that could make me laugh out loud was Dennis Miller during some of his really funnier books, but no. That is crazy. You're like, what, four teeth knocked out?
And at the end of the day, you know, really, and the one thing I will give Oprah credit for is the lady knows how to play the publicity machine like nobody
she's
else.
The queen
and at
of
the
that.
End of the day, this is good for the guy that's selling the books, and this is good for Oprah, even if he's getting lambasted. Yep. She is going to sell more books for this guy, and he's, you know, he's getting off the hook that way.
Right. Oprah's book club. Oprah's ass angels. Oprah's fat ass angels.
Jesus Christ.
I tell you what, instead of buying the book, how about this for a prime director for the Oprah audience? Instead of buying the next book, let's try over the next week 10 sit-ups.
Just 10.
Just 10.
Just 10.
Just two a day. Two a day.
Two sit-ups a day, because three's a hassle. Then take Saturday and Sunday off.
That's right. Do it during Oprah show. Oprah show.
We ought to start our own book club. I bet with our staff, we could come up with two books a week. Or no, a book. You need a book a week to add to the club.
Hey, let me just stop you. We got a break.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both agreed. There's only one book.
What?
It's called The Holy Bible.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's start there. The book club is closed.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the one thing that's never been done on television?
Radio.
You want to do radio on television?
Yeah. I say we get a great old radio performer. We can build the whole show around him.
Oh, Rob, most people today couldn't care less about the radio personality.
Sally, I couldn't agree with you more. He's always talking about some radio star that I never heard of.
Oh, come on now. You can't tell me that everybody wouldn't love to see
the Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Reality shows.
A year ago, you said they were the greatest thing that ever happened to us.
I've grown, you haven't.
American Idol.
Right.
It's pimple popping time, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I don't know if you were listening to the Free FM here in D.C. a second ago.
Uh-huh.
The last commercial that we ran. Just proving to me that we will take money from anybody for commercials. It's for a DNA a pill or some swab test you take to find out the daddy of your baby.
Right.
It's a paternity test.
Oh, wonderful.
You take a pill and then you swab your mouth.
Pretty amazed here at this location that they've taken on that sponsor. Makes everybody here probably a little nervous, I would assume.
And I hear that commercial and I think, oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, I know they got to pay the bills,
right.
But God, and I'm reading this now. This is...
is this to sneak around and get the DNA? Is that the way it's supposed to be done?
They don't say in the commercial. They just say, get the child's saliva, get the father's, and away you go.
You know, take the magic pill. I don't think there was a magic pill involved.
No.
It was all just get saliva.
A lot of swabbing.
And find out who the baby's daddy is.
So I guess the lesson would be not to drink from a glass when you're over at the lady's house.
So we're running commercials for all kinds of stuff, you know. Horny goat weed.
Yeah, baby.
You know, want to refinance. You know, it's everything is, you know, is your credit bad?
Right.
You need to know how to take an SAT test. What is this now? This is CBS. This is a press release now I'm reading. Our company, CBS, aims to repeat TV success with radio.
Oh.
Ooh. Listen carefully to these words from Leslie Moonves, who is the president of our company.
That's right.
When we took over CBS television, they said we could never turn the network around. Look at CSI. It spawned three shows. We're not satisfied with recent performances. and we want to prove it all over again with radio.
Yeah. Huh.
CBS is taking a hard look at commercial loads on radio.
Huh.
Now, this is what's going to hurt our show because we're successful.
We're addressing the issue of clutter in a smart, strategic way. When our commercial load is appropriate, and we're turning out ratings, growth, and revenue, we will stay put.
Oh, I see.
Where it's hurting our ratings, we will make adjustments. It's a station-by-station, market-by-market decision.
Uh-huh.
We will turn it around, like we turned around CBS with CSI.
Interesting.
Well. So I take from that... You know, I think everybody would agree there's too many commercials on radio,
mm-hmm.
especially in our format, because there's more time, because we don't play records. It's like you can talk for 20 minutes, and then it's like, okay, you got 9 minutes of commercials, and you talk again for 20 minutes, you got right. 9 more minutes of commercials. Mm-hmm. They cram all those commercials in because they can't.
Yes, right.
Just because they can't. It lends itself to the format of news, talk,
sure.
sports, more
right.
commercials.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It would be great. If we could actually come on the air one day and say we have less commercials,
mm-hmm.
then we wouldn't be playing commercials, or the commercials we'd be playing would be with no offense to the DNA test.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, we also do run spots for Mercedes and Coca-Cola and you know, all of the other, mm-hmm. your other big ticket advertisers.
Select clients is what you have in mind.
Yes. But it appears that the only way, from reading that press release, the only way that you're going
to
get the spot load reduced at your radio station would be to suck.
Right. Yeah. It seems they're going. If you have good ratings, they're not going to mess with it.
Yeah,
right.
They're going to keep sucking the money out.
Of course they are. And as a matter of fact, really, may I be so bold as to suggest the successful programs might even have more of a burden.
That's how we did it with CSI.
Really, I would look away from the commercial loads and perhaps evaluate some content issues.
Well, you don't like Jay Severin?
Nope.
Let me tell you about a little network called CBS that I took over a few years ago.
How'd you do it, Les?
Skin of my teeth, and I married the most beautiful woman in the world. Put her on my morning show.
Okay, Death Wish.
Now listen.
I always call you Death Wish when they start talking about that.
No,
there's a lot of you talk about a lot of stuff that makes me nervous, but that's when I start talking Death Wish.
When you can turn on Entertainment Tonight,
yes,
and Les Moonves, who's now the head of CBS Radio,
mm-hmm.
is being quoted and
right.
is going to stores and is on the Letterman show.
Yes,
right. I mean, for goodness sakes,
absolutely.
I just want to point out, I think the guy is brilliant at television. He's
right.
absolutely right. He has turned CBS around.
Do you think he's ever put his eyes on radio at all? Do you really think he'd have a hand in that?
I could
write him maybe a half a page with some suggestions.
I don't think he would take it from you or me.
And they wouldn't right. be specific suggestions. They would be simply eliminating some key positions.
I think you'd have to write that letter and sign it Jerry Bruckheimer.
I think you're right.
Uh-huh. Like, that would be the only way.
Yeah, he wouldn't open his doors to
it. The letter would have to be like this.
Dear Les, great idea for new CSI third scratch fourth show.
You do that to get his attention.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then you write, CSI Chicago, plot goes like this.
Uh-huh.
Blah, 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 blah. And then you just subliminally, you sneak in your messages
mm-hmm.
that you wanted to get. Like, what would your message be to him? Fire.
Yeah. Blank, 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 blank.
Uh-huh.
Here's a key. Unrelated. Why don't you fire Jay Severin?
Mm-hmm.
And then you work it back to the CSI Chicago idea.
Sure.
You know, you just kind of throw it in there.
Right. Slide it in.
Absolutely. You just throw it in, because that's how these Hollywood types work.
Mm-hmm. Is that how it works to get into the office?
Oh, that's how it works.
And you got to, even though I'm writing a letter, I'd wear a good suit.
Yeah.
I'd wear an expensive suit when I was writing that letter. Slip right out of it after the letter was done, or the email, but sure. but wear it when I was writing it.
You know, I'm going to try to look at this as a positive. At least Leslie Moonves is a broadcaster.
I am delighted to hear that he is, to be honest with you, that he's putting his eyes on the radio division.
Yes.
I am, yes.
Yes.
I'm really, I know, because you know what? You agree, we need it. Somebody's got to pay attention to this side.
Well, I think he's going to pay attention, but I think he's going to pay attention probably in the way that he knows best.
Yeah.
Which will probably mean
just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon we'll be running like 30 minutes of commercials an hour. What's that show that I hate, but that does great? Dan and Mark? The jerk-offs that called me that day. Add commercials.
Come on, they're successful.
Add commercials.
Or he could go another direction and start a show like Don and Mike Miami. And it would be very similar, but it would be different.
It would have to
maybe
be
Don and Mike. Law and Don and Mike.
Don and Mike,
how
but
I married.
The E and Mike is a three.
No, there you go with your numbers thing again.
That's a great
oh, God. Well, then I'll say Don and Mike Whisperer.
Don and Mike and a baby.
Yes, there you go.
Isn't that like two and a half men?
Two and a half buzzes.
A lot of ideas, see? And we're just fooling around.
Yeah,
imagine if we got serious.
These are all good ideas.
No, they're not good ideas.
These are great ideas.
We turned it around with the CSI franchise.
CSI franchise.
And now I'm going to do the same in radio. Boy, would I love to just send him a letter with my dirty fingernail. I mean, just, you know, to let him know that it's personal. Get a nice piece of station.
Mm-hmm. Do not send him any DNA.
No. Dear Leslie, mm-hmm. You know, congratulations. Thank you. Very smart. You know, have you ever listened to 106.7? Your pal, Don. P.S. Where are you registered? Because I've never sent the gift.
That's a nice thing. Yeah, we couldn't do that, could we?
No, we couldn't.
No, we couldn't.
No, we couldn't.
That'd get us in more trouble than anything.
And he would probably be offended if I sent him like a 24, like the box set of 24.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. He wouldn't take that well.
That's from another network.
Yeah.
And you know, the King of Queens box sets. Like, he's got those.
He's got all those. He gets those for free.
He's got those already.
Just how many sentences do you think it would require for you to write to indicate to Mr. Moonves your state of the station?
The fewer the better, really.
I totally agree with that.
It was a serious letter?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, probably less than 25 words.
Mm-hmm.
Very less good. Than 25 words, and that would count.
That's good.
That would count dear Mr. Moonves.
Good.
That would also count sincerely, and it would also count my name.
Very good.
Or I would sign it one of either three ways, either sincerely, all my best,
right,
or yours in Christ.
Right.
You know, depending on the person and the situation,
right,
and the message that you want to want them to receive.
And all my best for him.
All my best.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be interesting. And then there would be amazing fallout.
There would.
That
nuclear
fallout. Trust me, that would cause... Look, we can cruise along and do our little thing here. Talk about everybody. That would cause fallout. That really would.
What, sending him a letter?
Yeah.
You think so, really? If you really sent him a letter that said, Dear Les, you know, do you have any idea how screwed... No, you're right.
Yeah,
it would.
See, sure.
You couldn't send the president of the company a letter saying, hey, hi, do you have any idea what you're doing down here?
Right.
Have you ever listened to this? I mean, it ain't as easy as putting Jennifer Love Hewitt on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that was the case, giving a radio... Listen, here's a perfect analogy. You don't give a radio show to David Lee Roth because David Lee Roth has never been on the radio.
Right.
And cannot conduct a conversation with someone for 3 minutes, much less 4 hours. Jennifer Love Hewitt cannot act her way out of a paper bag. But she's got two of the biggest, most beautiful breasts on television. So you put her on a TV show,
mm-hmm.
and who cares what the plot is?
Exactly.
The plot is really how fast can we get her out of her jacket
mm-hmm.
and have her running around looking for ghosts. Okay? So you can go for name celebrities.
I love her.
It's just like, listen, no one is.
Do you think I'm not seeing any acting ability when I look at Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Nobody is sitting down with Jennifer Love Hewitt and saying, darling, you're the next Meryl Streep. I mean, at least if she's got anybody in her life that's talking seriously.
Right.
What they're saying to her is, here's the most important thing you want to do. You want to protect your breasts.
Shoulders back.
You want to, yes, have good posture.
Uh-huh.
We want to get you a nice bra that will lift and separate. And, darling, whatever you do, do not go jogging.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go jogging.
Right.
And she's cool with that.
Right.
Now, what I'm trying to say is you can get a name like Jennifer Love Hewitt, but exploit her for what she is. She's not an actress. She's not carrying a television show.
Love the Ghost Whisperer.
She's no Amy Brenneman. She's no Valerie Bertinelli.
Mm-hmm. She's certainly no Tyne Daly.
Yeah, she's just got beautiful jugs. Now, these choices that they've made in radio, they're trying the same logic.
Right.
But what you would say with David Lee Roth, if they had asked me, was, you have David Lee Roth, what is he known for? Well, I guess he screwed a lot of chicks when he was in Van Halen, and he partied a lot when he was in Van Halen.
Uh-huh.
Well, good luck filling up 4 hours a day with that, but that would be where I would say
right. You
would start with him.
Right.
Just like with Jennifer Love Hewitt. You don't hire Jennifer Love Hewitt and say, darling, we're going to dress you in an outfit that goes from neck to feet,
mm-hmm.
and incidentally, here's the script. It's by Bill Shakespeare.
In a way, it would be like doing that and also saying, incidentally, you're not going to have a fluffy little TV show about ghosts. We're going to make you handle Meet the Press on Sunday.
Yeah, right. Yeah, correct. Although, you know, in theory, you could pull that off.
If you actually... Well, no, not really. There's too much ad-libbing.
No, but I mean, if you had her, like if she was the Jillian Barbary...
Of the show.
Of Meet the Press.
Right.
Doing the weather?
Face the Nation.
Well, or the CBS show, right. Face the Nation.
Face the Nation.
Yeah, she'd be the weather girl with big jugs.
Uh-huh. Perhaps that's a problem they should address, too, since I said Meet the Press.
But on Meet the Press, they could just use Tim Russert. He's got big jugs.
Really should have used the CBS.
His big mitts.
And then she could, like, come over and talk to Bob Schieffer and rub up against him.
There's a lovely picture of Jennifer Love Hewitt. That might kill Bob Schieffer.
See, there you go.
It might save Bob Schieffer.
Well, I got news for you. I think old Bob Schieffer...
Uh-huh. Getting it done?
And then I sat and really worked it.
I got the feeling that her name would be Jennifer Love Screw It if she ever got together with Bob Schieffer.
I think he's a Brenneman man.
Amy Brenneman. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
Anyway, it's always interesting to work in broadcast.
Sure is.
Where, you know, the biggest names and then the hottest trends are right here. This is show business, baby.
The real thrill about working in this business is everybody's always thinking.
This is radio, baby. This is hot. This is a happening medium. We're glad to be here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Not too good.
Yeah, you don't sound real good. What's wrong?
What's the problem?
Well, I'm calling you from L.A., as a matter of fact. I know you guys don't come in here, but I was a long-time listener out of Sacramento and just moved down here and just really miss you guys a lot.
Well, do you have a computer? We're on the Internet.
No.
Do you have an iPod? We're on the podcast.
No.
Okay, well then.
Ed Duan. Hard to do, Dom, but a generous move.
There you go.
Taking him out of his misery.
Another horse with herpes.
That's the way it is today.
I had to put that horse down.
Ah, yes, he was calling from that city, wasn't he?
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike Show.
Radio Overlords. How are you?
Hi there. We're doing very well, thank you.
Speaking of Jennifer Love Hewitt and her two best friends there, have you guys heard the rumor that she did get offered for Playboy and her publicist would neither confirm nor deny it and that she's seriously considering it?
Hold on, I got it.
Really?
I've been sitting on it all week.
Hey, she's considering it?
I mean, literally, I've been sitting on it all week. Hold on a second.
I think it would be the highest selling issue ever.
Hold on. Give me
a second. She is hot.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, God.
I'd love to see those. Okay, hold on a second. Do. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Well, I lost it. Well, trust me, I've been sitting on it all week, but yeah, you're right.
The story is that she is considering it?
Yes, that she is serious. She is serious.
And I'll tell you what. She's got one of the nicest set of milk movers I've ever seen.
Okay. Keep us posted.
Yeah, and that's his thrill. That's what creeps me out about a guy like that. That's his whole thing is like, I got to say it.
Uh-huh. Milk movers.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Right.
Hello, Todd and Mike.
Bob Dole likes Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Bob Dole.
This is not the Bob Dole guy,
is
it?
What? Come back to Florida.
No, you're not him either.
What was it? Who is that?
Doing Pilar there, I think, or trying.
Oh,
to
no, stop it.
He's not any of those.
Stop it. No imitators. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi.
Yes. Who do you think's better?
You know, hold on. Let me stop for a second, because if you looked at that in transcript form, it would say, yes, we are. Hi. So it would be, yes, we are, dot, 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 H-I.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead, sir.
This is my skull.
I'm so wasted.
All right, so like he said, this is bogus.
Mr. Hand.
What can we do for you, son?
Don and Mike.
Yes, come on, get to it. Move faster.
We have established that.
Okay. Don't get shot.
Who do you think is better, Jesus Christ or Oprah?
Tried to warn him. We're going to have to start putting plastic down in here.
Not funny. Not funny. Everybody knows our Lord Oprah Winfrey, who died for your sins.
Amen.
Do we have the tapes? Oh, we've got the Oprah
Excuse
tapes.
Me. Oh, man.
We've got... Great movie. What about if Oprah was in The Yeoman?
Oh,
what if Oprah was the mommy in The Yeoman?
Oh, yeah, and the little tricycle came right there. She goes.
Yippee! Okay, well, when we come back, boy, everybody's calling about stupid Oprah. We'll listen to her tapes, and I guess we'll talk about her and about other stuff. But now's the time that we got to play some more commercials.
That'll help the franchise.
We're a station, we're a show on a station that's got good ratings and good revenue, so nothing's changing for now.
Right. I should say to everyone, thank you for enjoying the Don and Mike product. The Don and Mike brand, very successful. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt. What? You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show. Here to repossess your funny bone, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Hello there. Donato E. Miguel, hi.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Howdy.
Hey. That guy should have jumped up on the couch and started screaming. I'm Tom Cruise. I'm Tom Cruise, Oppo, you queen of the house crow nation.
That is a great New England accent right there.
Still a mess, my brothers.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye. That is so New England. All right, there you go, brother.
Yes, we have all of the Oprah tapes. We have the Oprah tape of her calling Larry King, defending the guy. Then we have her yelling at the guy in her own understated way.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise we will get to that, and everybody wants to talk about Oprah. But there's another story that I think is bigger.
Really?
Now, let me cue up my CD.
Bigger than Oprah?
Your close and play?
Is anybody bigger than Oprah?
Now, this story is a true story.
Okay.
Fighting soldiers from the sky.
It involves our Green Berets.
Fearless men who jump.
One Green Beret in particular.
Men who mean.
There's a National Enquirer that's coming out next week.
The brave men
of the Green Beret. Mike.
Yes.
What is the first word you can think of that rhymes with gay?
Ray.
Sorry, Buzz.
Gray.
Rob?
Clay.
Clay Aiken.
Well, he knew.
I know. I have to give somebody who knows. Clay Aiken is a gay. And there is a man in the Green Beret who has given his name, has given many details.
You mean Clay had a relationship with a Green Beret?
Mike, the details were fascinating.
Wow.
Clay Aiken, of course.
This is just wonderful.
He has said, like Barry, I think it was yesterday we were discussing Barry Manilow, Clay Aiken. Right. You know, why they're like the Liberace's of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Aiken has come out, if you pardon the pun, and said he's not gay.
Right.
That he likes chicks. And he's like had his picture taken with girls.
He's got a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Gone to Hollywood premieres. Well, now in the Enquirer, the thing about this is that it is not one of those things where it says unnamed sources say or a friend said. This is a guy who has decorated a Green Beret. He's 38.
Okay.
He maintains he had sex.
Uh-huh.
Because my first question was,
is this a guy that had a relationship with Clay Aiken before he was Clay Aiken?
Okay. Right.
No, the answer is that they had sex, and I'll tell you about the type of sex and how Clay described it on the internet in a moment.
Huh.
They had sex on December 16th. So just,
wow,
just a month and 10 days ago, Big Clay says, A-OK to a Green Beret. All right, so the guy's name is John Paulus.
So he claims he's had sex with Clay since Clay has become a star.
John Paulus. Mm-hmm. He's in the he was a former Green Beret.
He will fascinate you.
He says that they rubbed each other. Anyway, it was a Quality Inn in Garner, North Carolina.
It is now.
I know a great place we can go. It's a Quality Inn.
Now, it's fun to pretend that Clay Aiken isn't gay. You know, not that there is anything.
Homo.
I mean, who cares? Just right. Don't do it in front of me. I don't care. I think we all feel the same way.
Absolutely.
But this is now hurting Clay Aiken's business.
Okay.
That this is starting to seep out. Like a lot of things, seep out.
Oh dear!
And some of the claymaniacs, some of the claymates are getting upset.
Sure, because they want him to either come out or they want him to.
During the commercial break, I went to clayaiken.com and tried to go to the message board, and it said due to excessive traffic, the message board has been shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here are
I can't take reading them anymore.
Here are the facts. According to
the Inquirer,
the ex-Green Beret. Again, you say the Inquirer, but
right.
You give a guy's name, and wait till you hear some of the details he has. Why do you always want to discount the National Inquirer?
I'm foolish that way, yeah, because really, I mean, I know.
More times than not, at least in recent history, they are right.
That's true, because of the lawsuits, if nothing else. They've gotten tighter.
If they're going to have on their front page next week that Clay Aiken is a pole smoker,
mm-hmm.
You've got to know that they've got to have a guy that's got some pretty good stuff.
Absolutely.
Or else they aren't going to be... Right. And wait until you hear.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm so very sorry.
You're gonna love this.
All right.
All right. So they made it a Quality Inn. They had 90 minutes of gay sex.
Yay.
How did this happen?
How did it happen?
How did they meet each other? On the intronet. Now they have computer records to back this up.
Okay.
In a gay chat room,
mm-hmm.
Clay Aiken used the screen name Valley Pretty Boy.
Wow.
And he IM'd the guy first. They wrote each other for a month. And then Clay Aiken, Valley Pretty Boy, wrote the guy and said he wanted a... so great, because it's exactly what he wrote. A discreet BF.
that's what he wrote?
And that's what
some kind of code.
And that's what it says in the Inquirer. And they've got the computer printout.
Fighting soul.
I like they check the IP.
The sky.
A discreet B, and he wrote the words.
No, I'm reading as he wrote.
So he wrote the letters.
He wrote yes. He wanted a discreet BF.
I assume BF.
Yeah, right. BFing. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A butt.
Wow.
You know, right. Yeah.
Silver wing.
Fascinating.
So, Clay Aiken writes, you know, I'd like a discreet BF.
Mm-hmm.
And the Green Beret guy says, okay. So, and he's got the receipt from this Quality Inn
mm-hmm.
that they were at. He says, Clay Aiken, when he met me, told me that his ex-lover was selfish and mean.
Mm-hmm.
Have yourself.
Within 5 minutes,
Mary.
Clay Aiken started to feel my arms and put his hands on my legs.
Wow.
We started to mess around, and Clay said he wanted to have sex with me. Before I knew it, we were having unprotected sex.
And then Clay said, I wish I could quit you.
He kept telling me, we're going to do this many more times.
Wow.
Now, the Inquirer gave him a lie detector test. He passed it. He also, and this is the part that you're going to love, Mike, he saved all of his instant message stuff with Clay Aiken.
Mm-hmm.
He saved all the computer stuff. And more importantly, he has, how do I put this delicately? Turn off that Christmas music.
Evidence?
A wash rag
with
encrusted DNA on it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
this guy
What is his motivation for doing this? Is it that he doesn't like the fact that Clay's not out? Is that the, sometimes that's the reason. Does the guy give any reasons for doing this?
No. I don't see any reasons. The inquiry says he passed the lie detector test.
You know, the bottom line
the
is
the instant messages.
If Clay is out of the closet and he's gay whoop-de-doo.
I would guess that the guy is wanting to write a book about this.
Yeah.
And that
that's true.
Wouldn't you? If you got an instant message from Clay Aiken who said he wanted some discreet BF and then you showed up and it was, you know, the Peter Pan Clay Aiken.
And he said he didn't like the way Clay behaved.
He did not.
So he was mean.
Before I knew it, we started having unprotected sex. He kept telling me we're going to do this many more times. And then he could not find him again. And
is there any statement from the Aiken camp?
Yes, now, here you go.
Oh, yes, good. The other side.
Clay Aiken's rep has the declined comment.
Ah, fair enough.
That's usually the first sign right there.
That normally means
they're figuring out a straight. It sounds like Clay's going to go underground for a while.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Many gays are calling us now. Hello, gays. Hello? Hold on a second.
So Clay is gay for a green beret who has his DNA.
Gay? Hello, gay John?
Hey, BF does not mean that.
Doesn't mean butt F?
Can you?
BF definitely means boyfriend.
Okay, all right. Maybe,
freak boyfriend.
Maybe in your world, but I got news for you in our world.
Well, that is that on the gay-like websites? Is that what they will say?
Yeah, they say, like, discreet encounters, discreet boyfriends.
Okay.
Or in the closet. They need someone to be discreet.
All right, well, even if it means boyfriend, I'm sure it ends... the Green Beret says it did end up leading to...
One thing leads to another.
To the other BF.
On my message board, it means Bonnie Franklin.
All right, thank you, Gay John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
DJ.
Fighting soldiers from the
On my website,
sky.
It's somebody that I heard in the theater.
Fearless
Let one go.
Oh.
A BF.
A big one.
But mine is my mother-in-law.
A big Frida.
Big Frida.
Big Frida.
That's right.
A discreet Big Frida.
Men of the Green Beret.
Talk not.
Looking for a BF.
And it also is a complete line of very tight clothing. We call it buzz fashion.
Anyway, how about that? Talk about being shocked. Boy, am I not. You could just knock me over with a feather. When Clay Aiken is a pole.
You always were the one that said, why are we picking on him?
Right.
So straight. Why is everybody always picking on me?
Now,
anyway,
know.
So they've got the transcripts of the stuff from the instant messaging. And
Don Hatz, Clay, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. I did not mean to lie about my sexuality, and I know this would not be a big deal if I just come out. Come out of that little old closet.
Do you like tree nuts?
I hate tree nuts. I'm allergic to tree nuts. Keep those tree nuts out of my dressing room, please.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I think his motivation was probably Clay Aiken's terrible music.
You think he hated the music so much that he just wanted to come out and say this?
Yeah. I think it's bad enough that someone would be motivated to do that.
You know, there are, violence in our society is run rampant.
There's too much of it, really.
I just want to say that.
I was wondering why you were doing the show today with the sidearm at your side. I mean, your hand for the entire show, now I know why.
To my tribute to Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yes, sorry.
If you remember when we went out there 10 years ago,
carry
to do the show, you could walk around the streets you got it strapped right on.
I think you do that in Florida now.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I think Clay Aiken really wanted a discreet RP. Rumpy Pumpy.
A rumpy pumpy.
Okay. Yeah, I called in with the Peter Pan. Okay. Yeah,
not to be confused with Rippy Dippy.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Jack. Why do they green beret sound like Elvis?
Hold on. Are you trying to tell a joke?
It was...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first off, this is an awful phone.
Horrible phone.
And
please do not play low-budget Jeopardy today.
The deal on our show is if you want to tell a joke, we'll let you tell a joke. If we don't laugh... And you know we love to laugh. This is your laughing place. We give out your telephone number.
No, I'm going to get
the phone. The phone is terrible, too.
I think he's implying that Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler sounds like Elvis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Well, who even knew what the guy was talking about?
Is Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler the gentleman who alleges the...
Guy who sings the Ballad of the Green Beret.
Oh, there we
go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is Gary Nickerson. Is this Don and Mike?
Who is this?
Gary Nickerson. I'm calling from the Oprah Show, and we would certainly love to book you guys up or just give me a call and let somebody call you, see if you guys are available. And
give me the gun. Give me the gun. Here, I got something for you.
Okay, all right. Friday, bloody Friday.
You can't even walk around in here.
Bloody day.
If you don't slip on the blood, you slip on the shell.
Hello, right. Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don Mike.
Yeah, hi.
A similar story broke a couple weeks ago with the screen name Michael Hughes giving Clay Aiken a warm wine enema.
Okay, you're just lucky that we've shot so many people today.
I haven't reloaded yet.
Didn't shoot you too.
That did give me a little chuckle.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
What's
happening?
Fulfilling a contract, sir. How about you?
Oh, no.
Fulfilling a contract I made with Satan.
Hey, it sounds like this gay beret was aching for some bacon. Maybe trolling for some swollen colon.
Hey, sounds unfunny.
I got another box of ammo.
You better put your finger in your nose and get some snot, because before you know it, you're going to be shot.
Really?
You know, we just look so bad when we have to do this so many times, but it's so necessary.
On the Dynamite Show is you of the ass.
Mm-hmm.
In China is you of the dog.
That's right.
You of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and next week, I think we're going to call China on the show to ask them why they eat so many dogs.
We will have a good interview from China.
And we're going to try to find somebody from China, right, to come on the air with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is the year of the dog, right?
Yes, it is.
Sunday is New Year's Day.
Right.
Oh, it's New Year's Day. Where's the poodle?
Yeah, it's lunchtime. And they're still doing that over there, right?
Some parts of Asia, yes.
And Dick Clark's going over. He's going to wait for the big dog to drop. Then he's going to be munching on some basset hound. Ryan Seacrest will be jumping around like a hyperactive dog himself.
Seacrest, out!
Welcome to Year of the Dog, everybody.
Regis will go over there also with joy.
All right, then, fine.
Here I am at Gentleman Square.
Hey, everybody, look. It's Regis.
The hot dogs over here are really hot dogs.
Where's Kathy Lee?
It really is the year of the dog, though.
Yes, it is.
It is the year of the dog in China, and it is the year of the ass.
Good.
On the Don and Mike Show. Mm-hmm. When we take control of our telephone callers.
Yeah, it's tough, but you have to do a lot of bad things to make that happen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike?
Yes.
This is Michael Jackson.
See now. You know, who says that we're like the LAPD?
Mm-hmm.
Who says?
Sometimes we just let them run away.
Who says shoot first and ask questions?
No, we give them a chance sometimes. Get out of here. You really weren't worth it. Get out of here. Go on. Just don't let it happen again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Enough with that. Everybody who's calling with their Clay Aiken stuff, I'd rather hear some of the Oprah tapes. Everybody knows the story now. The guy lied about writing the book on Oprah. We don't think it's a big deal. But she's really trumped this thing up. Here she is first on Larry King about a month ago, defending the guy, saying that she's positive that the guy really wrote the book, and how dare everybody, blah, blah, blah. Here she is. Here's Oprah.
I understand we have Oprah on the phone. So let's see what she has to say. Are you there, my friend?
Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm sorry to stop before we get to that. But I believe Larry may have made an Arnoldism right there. I think, let's see what she has to say.
I understand we have Oprah on the phone. So let's see what she has to say.
Larry. You know, who would have thought? Did you know we had that gem, Don?
I did not. I mean, I know we had the tapes.
Who needs
realize
Oprah when we have that? Let's see what she has to say.
So I says,
Jesus, Larry.
I understand we have Oprah on the phone. So let's see what she has to say. Are you there, my friend?
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Hello, dear one. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm watching the...
Hello, dear one.
Dear one.
That's how you know the tough questions are coming.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Hello, dear one. That's royalty speak. I will refer to her as dear one.
All right, hold on. Time out. We've got to follow the Moonves directive, the CSI directive.
Right here on the Donna Mike product.
We got to do this, but we'll be back with the Oprah tapes and more crap right here on your laughing place. your crappy laughing place.
Yes, that's right, I say.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I didn't understand you, sir.
Don and Mike, Jerry!
No, I was right the first time. I don't understand you. Well, thank you, sir, whatever that was.
Jerry!
I can't believe I paid for this guy to be here.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given. Because it'll make them ultimately less happy.
Right.
It'll be a better...
Thank
feeling
you.
For them.
Right.
They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
You get a gun.
Remember that having their program every day is a luxury. The Don and Mike Show.
And I think we used to mock Jerry Seinfeld. Now we know that he spoke the truth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely dead on, and we're doing it with our audience now, treating them like a child.
Jerry Seinfeld really understands showbiz.
He does.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi there.
Hold on a second. I got a guy here that needs to talk to Don. Hold on.
Okay, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Now, I just want to say, before we take this call, before we start with the new year of the ass, no good can come of this.
Hey.
When the woman hands the phone to the guy who's obviously in prime show-off mode.
Hey.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't on a mic, is it? I mean, live, right now?
Yes, ass. What will your final words be?
My final words...
Why'd you call?
All right, I call back on an invitation by Dom Geronimo. I'm the Marine who ran into him at the FedEx Stadium, and he said, give a call back when you get back into town, and here I am.
Okay, I have not been to FedEx Field since my wife died 7.5 months ago.
Turn that down, honey. No, you know what? This is like 3 years ago, and you gave my phone number over the radio, and I went crazy for a week.
No. None of this makes sense. I can't give out people's phone numbers over the radio. That's against the rules. I know.
That's why my girlfriend at the time went to Ken, who was the radio manager of your station, and it was eliminated from that. But listen,
hold on a second. Wow. Ass. Captain Ass, or whatever your name is.
Turn that down.
Whatever your military name was.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
First off, if you mention the name Ken as a general manager, you're talking about more than 3 years ago.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about at least 5 years ago. And then you're saying that I met you at a football stadium.
Yes, I did. The humidor. You were smoking a cigar. You were with your wife. And I went by and said, who's this guy smoking this massive smoker cigar? And I turned around and it was you.
Were you in uniform?
No, I was in civilian clothes.
Let me point out that when I was having this massive cigar before whatever this guy's going to say, at the Redskins Stadium, there's a gigantic place called the Humidor where they sell cigars, where you go in to smoke a cigar during
the
game.
The name, the Humidor.
The Humidor, yes. Uh-huh. So you walk in, and I guess I'm the only guy with... Well, I'm getting...
No, not at all.
I'm getting too defensive here.
No, I was... Listen.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Before we proceed, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When you were on our show last, was it were we happy with you or were we unhappy with you?
You were unhappy.
Uh-huh. Good.
Then why would you call back?
Because I'm back in D.C. for the weekend.
Who cares?
Why
were we unhappy with you?
Because he was an ass.
Yes.
And why were you an ass?
I mean, I'm just basing that, not that I remember it. I'm just saying, listening to him now, and I'm figuring that's what it was.
As opposed to now, what did you do 5 years ago or whatever that angered us?
Well, I told you I was going to come down to your radio station and shave my head because I lost the secret sound bit.
Right.
And what did you back out of that or something?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good reason for us to be unhappy.
So you're a liar and a cheater.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know what?
Why would you want to call us up and remind us of that?
because I enjoy your show. And the last time when I spoke to you in the Humidor, Mr. Geronimo, you know, we had a nice little short conversation. You said, hey, listen, kid, anytime, give a call back. And, well, it's 5 years later. I'm back in town, so I'm calling.
Well, can I tell you something? In all honesty, I was lying my ass off to you. That day, I probably had no idea who you were. I have no idea who you are now. I'm glad that this did not happen to you while you were serving our country, but this is going to happen to you now.
Because it is 2006, the year of the ass.
You know, and I vaguely do remember that may have been like maybe one of the last straws with the giving out people's phone numbers on the air, because really when you get someone who wants to play a game and then they back out, what recourse do you have?
You don't. You didn't have any. And that would have made us very angry, I'm sure.
Yes. Okay. Now we're running out of time, and we're to the point in the show when there are just too many things, something we're going to put off till next week. For instance, we've never talked all this week, we've not mentioned Rob's 75 pricks.
Yeah, we never mentioned that. He was that's a fascinating story, and he was in agony.
we never got to the list of all the things Rob is allergic to. I wanted to try something new this week, Wheel-O Family and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
We would actually spin a wheel that we've made that has names on it, like George McFly,
right.
My Brother Jim.
Oh, brilliant.
Big Frida. Oh, I've gotten Big Ed's permission to put his name on the wheel.
Very good.
My daughter, my son, but we don't have time for that. We'll do that next week.
Good.
There is a spot we're running. Could you pull up the Game Show Network spot?
Yeah.
This is just a small thing. I notice it's maybe just the way that I'm hearing.
Okay.
I'm not a homophobe, despite what you've heard on today's show.
Yes. No, but you're not.
There's a spot. Thank you for the way you said that. There's a way you said that. That was kind of like, yeah, you're not. Yeah, you're not a homophobe. No,
you mean it sounded like I was being a little sarcastic?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. No, you're not.
That's right. No.
Let me say that officially. You're not, and I'm not.
You're not either.
You know how I know that?
How?
I read it in the Inquirer.
Go over. There's a spot we're running. One of our sponsors, one of our great sponsors, Game Show Network.
Right.
Every time I hear the commercial, it sounds like they say, on the network for gays.
I know what you're talking about. They're saying
network for games.
I agree. Sounds like that.
But it sounds to me like gays.
Mm-hmm. You can't play it because its run is over, so it's a dead spot now. It's no longer in the
computer. Oh, in the computer system.
Computer threw it out.
But aren't you glad we went digital?
All right, so we don't have that.
But I heard it, and it is clear that it said that. It really is clear.
I bet someone from the back room can pull it over.
Yeah, Johnny's coming into work.
All right, Johnny's going to get on that. Also, well, you didn't need to hear this anyway, but it's just, I'm bumming. I'm tripping. I'm really bumming. There's no football this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean,
and then after that, it's the big one, and then you're done.
Don't call me and tell me to watch the Senior Bowl, and for God's sakes, don't call me and tell me to watch arena football, okay?
I thought for a time, though, when arena football first came into existence, you were excited about it.
Mike, no.
It's not the same thing.
No, it's not. I mean, I need my full-on, man-on-man NFL action.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's why, not this weekend, but next weekend, we'll have a poker game.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me see. Also, not gotten to on the show this week. We mentioned it's the year of the dog in China. We'll be calling China next week.
Right.
How many dogs get eaten every year in China? Trivia question. How many dogs?
You want me to guess?
Yeah. How many dogs get eaten every year in China?
I can eat 50 dogs.
For a never-before-chewed stick of gum.
How much time, Luke? An hour? I'm going to say, wow, I mean, it's a huge country. Uh-huh. I'm going to say 10 million.
Buzz.
I'll say 1 million.
Mike O'Mara.
Winner! Like I got it?
On the dog's nose.
Hello!
Good job.
10 million.
10 million
dogs. Don't have time to tell you about details on this. Just want to mention West Virginia.
Yeah,
West Virginia.
Yeah, my dog Blue.
Has decided that kids are too fat in school.
Okay, true.
So, every school in the state of West Virginia is now getting a copy of Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, no. That's a brilliant way to handle
West Virginia. Okay, just wanted to point that out.
Now, Billy Joe, take this home and put it on your stereo.
Buzz, I've been waiting for you all week to ask you, what is the most frequent sexually related injury? What is the number one injury that people get from having sex?
I'm going to say alimony.
No, come on.
No, I would say a bad back. I'd say an injured back.
Oh.
No?
Number two, really? Mike.
A broken thing.
No.
That is agony.
Mm. Carpet or rug burn?
Oh, okay.
Okay, you've got from bottom to top, if you pardon the pun, you have broken bones, bump head, scratched back, grazed elbows, bruised leg, bruised tailbone.
Ooh.
Bruised tailbone.
Yeah. Michael, otherwise known as the coccyx.
Sprained ankle,
uh-huh.
Twisted wrist, a pulled back, and then the carpet and rug burns.
I've got that game show spot.
Oh, you do? Oh, great. Yeah. Could you, on which one here?
Here's the proof.
It'll just come up by itself.
By itself? Here we go. You tell me it doesn't sound.
How far would you go to win Olympic gold?
Nothing would stop Tonya Harding. Nothing.
How far would you go to win the trial of the century?
If it doesn't fit, you must have paid you on the odds.
Anything to win. The bold new documentary series about people who refuse to lose. Tonight at 9 on GSN, the network for games.
You don't hear the M at all.
Doesn't it sound like gays?
Mm-hmm. And they've got a network for gays.
Yes, they do.
Lago.
Lago.
Lago. Oh, and now, finally, as we didn't get to any of that stuff, some of it we'll get to next week. The Oprah tapes. We've talked ad nauseum about it.
Uh-huh.
You know our position. Here she is on Larry King when we're going to get all caught up in this, says and everything, but here she is really defending this guy.
I understand we have Oprah on the phone, so let's see what she has to say. Are you there, my friend?
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Hello, dear one. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm watching James and Lynn. Hi, James. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Oprah.
Well, I just wanted to say, Larry, because everyone's been asking me to release a statement, and I first wanted to hear what James had to say, and I didn't want to have that colored by any personal conversation that I'd had. As he said, he's had
colored
conversations with my producer.
Oprah's colored.
Do fully support him, and obviously we support the book because
listen to her.
We recognize that there have been thousands and hundreds of thousands of people whose lives have been changed by this book. So the truth is this. I read and recommend books based on my connection with the written word and its message. And, of course, I am disappointed by this controversy surrounding A Million Little Pieces. Some of the facts have been questioned. The underlying message of redemption in James Frye's memoir still resonates with me, and I know that it resonates with millions of other people.
Now, for my money, she could have said that exact same thing on her show yesterday,
uh-huh.
That the book resonates with her. And
she's not in any way disputing the facts of the matter, which is the guy, the guy lied about certain facts. She's saying the book still influenced people positively.
But
right.
You know what's really bad, what she says?
What?
She's disappointed in the controversy.
Yes, disappointed in the controversy.
Which means that because everyone is making such a big deal of it, we've really let her down.
Yeah. Right. Now, here she is talking about regretting calling Larry King. This is from yesterday when she really just cut this guy wide open.
I regret that phone call. I made a mistake and I left the impression that the truth does not matter. And I am deeply sorry about that because that is not what I believe.
Shut up, stupid.
Because I love the message of this book and at the time and every day I was
shut up, stupid.
Email from so many people who had been inspired by it, and I have to say that I allowed that to cloud my judgment. And so to everyone who has challenged me on this issue of truth, you are absolutely right.
Who are you afraid of?
Wow.
Well, listen to her tone. Now she's going to tell the guy, Jim Frye, the guy who wrote the fake book.
Uh-huh. The guy who's like a fish getting ready to be filleted.
Yeah. She feels duped by him.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Oprah.
I have to say it is difficult for me to talk to you because I really feel duped. I feel duped. But more importantly, I feel that you betrayed millions of readers. And I think, it's such a gift to have millions of people to read your work. And that bothers me greatly. And so now as I sit here,
I didn't know she spoke like Elvis.
I don't know what is true and I don't know what isn't.
It bothers me greatly.
It bothers me greatly. Call me if his condition worsens.
If the book is fake, wake me up and feed me a cherry pie.
I am the queen. I am the queen of England, and you have disappointed me greatly.
And now here's the poor schmuck that wrote the book. And again, how they got him on the show.
He is a bit of a schmuck, though.
We don't know. Here he is saying the book's not a con.
I was really behind this book because so many people seem to have gotten so much out of it.
Okay.
And I believed
right.
in the fact that so many people were. But now
Oprah's
I feel
angels.
That you conned us all. Do you?
Here he is.
I don't feel like I conned.
You don't?
No.
Why?
Here's Steve Johnson.
Because I still think the book is about drug addiction and alcoholism, and nobody's disputing that I was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and it's about the battle to overcome that.
Okay, and then, let me see, then this is where, at the very end, this poor guy, he's been out there just getting whipped by Oprah for an hour, and she's yelling at him in understated tones.
Right, yes.
And it's this whole, to my intellectual property and my angels and my book club.
Right.
And then she gets the guy to cave, and he's trying to save it. And this is the quote where he says, like, I'm going to be a better person.
Is this when the audience turns on him?
Yeah. It certainly hasn't been a great couple weeks for me.
Yeah.
But I think I come out of it better. I mean, I feel like I came here, and I have been honest with you. I have essentially admitted to lying. And I think that's...
Which is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not an easy thing to do in front of a... audience full of people and a lot of others watching on TV. I mean, if I come out of this experience with anything, it's being a better person and learning from my mistakes and making sure that I don't repeat them.
Don't be such a pussy. Listen, I made it up, okay?
really, at one point, wouldn't you love the guy to stand up and go, look it over and go, like you've never lied in your life.
Do you think they got him on by saying... You really want to sell some books?
No, I found out. Actually, in the break, I found out how they got him on.
How'd they get him on?
They gave him Coke. They said, come on.
That'll
you want to come on the show? We got something for you. We got a treat.
He was there.
Right, Oprah. And here's how the meeting went before the show with Oprah.
We'll get the man an effing Coke. I don't know. Call Bill Cosby's ass. He like cocaine. I told you I want his white ass on that chair tomorrow. Where am I latte? My angels are mad at me.
Oh, the guy was weaselly. He was weaselly even in admitting he lied. He was weaselly. There's no doubt that the guy... I mean, I thought the guy was weaselly when I saw him interviewed on Larry King.
A little bit. A little
my book was about me being an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I am.
And this is nothing more than just Oprah C.Y. gigantic ass.
Totally. And you know, really... I also think, and we haven't said this yet, it's not just Oprah CYA. This is Oprah getting ratings by having the controversial guy on.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
She's on the front page of every goddamn newspaper. She was on a lead story. Look at this. Winfrey Grills author. No, she didn't.
She's late to the party on this, and she's getting credit for being the great server of justice here.
Grilling him would be when she turns on the black when she gets mad at somebody like, does a double snap. You treat a woman like that. You don't got a place in this world.
When I read that headline, I thought it involved a barbecue sauce.
Oh, God. Winfrey Grills author.
Yeah. Cooked and ate him right on television.
Don't think so,
he
Robert.
Slinked off, though. He was done.
Mm-hmm. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, that would be great if that guy got up right in front of Oprah and said, yeah, right, I'm pulling your wang. Yeah, right, I'm pulling your wang.
Just handle it like him.
Thank you. CBS page, Johnny Dark.
Johnny Dark, who is suffering from a black eye on his last appearance.
You know, I have to say, I've recommended that to people, that you watch Letterman when it's new on Friday night for this Johnny Dark thing.
Right.
And Mike is bought into it and is drinking the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Mike thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
Rob thinks it's funny.
I have from the beginning, yeah.
I didn't mean that like
you're
mad.
No, you're right.
That it's one of those things, I think maybe you got to walk a mile in our shoes. I don't know how to say
this. Well, no, I was going to say that you like it. You turned us on to it. We like it. The audience in Letterman does not like it.
Yeah, I don't get that.
There is silence. It's like crickets when you watch it.
Now, Letterman likes it because it's on the show all the time.
Right.
But it is a segment that, and I've told other people, I mean, I've told people in my real non-radio
life.
They
don't get it.
Listen, you want to see something funny, watch this. And it's
the guy. It's funny because it's just the guy.
Right.
The guy can do nothing and make
it. Yeah, right. I'm pulling your wang.
just, he is such an unknown. He's such a no-name. He's funny to look
his
at.
His attitude makes him funny.
I think that when the audience, it falls flat like that, it makes it funnier at home.
Right.
Because it's almost like it's in a vacuum.
Sure.
There it gets so quiet.
But, you know, really, with any bit on Letterman, Letterman's, you know, if it's not... If you're not getting the laughs, Letterman's not going to do anything to help it. So I do like it when he gets some laughs. And he does get laughs occasionally.
Occasionally.
But it's, his awkward timing is also fun to watch, too.
But thank you to our listener who actually jumped in with the pull on your wang, get the Johnny Dark thing.
Yeah. It's a rerun tonight, though, isn't it?
Don't know.
Have to see, because if not, I hope he rides his horse.
That's my
funny
favorite.
Too.
That's the best. When he rides the imaginary horse.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. Rickles is on Craig Ferguson, though.
Well, as always, we'll TiVo it.
Will Rickles, has Rickles now moved into the land of Craig Ferguson where he won't get the gig on The Tonight Show or Late Night with David Letterman?
I believe
can
so.
Rickles, can Rickles still sit in the chair on Letterman?
He was on Leno after Carson died.
Yeah, but come on, that's a gimme. Thing.
That's a gimme because Carson died. I mean, right. Like, I don't think Letterman would have him on as a guest.
I bet he would.
I don't think. I mean, maybe as a goof, but not like as a real guest. Right. I mean,
well,
you know,
there's always Regis.
Do you remember when
he has that comic on that toured with Sinatra?
Oh, that guy. Yeah, but that's just because he's gay for that guy.
Tom Dreesen. That's
gay for that guy.
They used to work together.
He made a big point. Letterman made a big point of saying that they don't have impressionists on the show. That they've never had an impressionist on the show until he had Frank Caliendo on.
Oh, really?
Last week. Told you that killed. Oh, Rob got an email from Beth Ann.
Yes.
About Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, he just wanted to send an email to you guys to say he was on Letterman, he was excited, and he'd like for you guys to watch.
Okay.
I got it late because Beth Ann was at the manager's meeting and had no access to email. Okay.
Right,
you know how when they go to a manager's meeting, no one at CBS wants to have, like, you know, a gadget or anything, so they can stay in touch.
Yeah, of course.
That's right.
Just shut them off.
Like they're not all looking at their little electronic devices
right,
all week.
Like Beth Ann doesn't have a Crackberry going right now.
Or McBrideberry.
The call of the end.
But anyway, Frank says hi, and he was very excited that he did very well.
Good. Well, he killed on Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not pulling your wang. All right, that's it. Everything else that we didn't get to, we'll talk about next week. We got the Friday favorite coming in right up.
It's the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
Prisons like Abu Ghraib, the frankly mood of the world would have been astounded.
In my state of the Union, or state, my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
It's on. Give me one time, Jerry.
Now, me and Homer Jones and Big John Pettit and a big crap game.
They love to make pudding. Don and Mike.
And we didn't all in
Well, you know who likes that? My man Bush.
That's right.
You know, we thought a lot about who's going to have on Jeopardy this week. It's Simon Cowell, of course.
Thank you.
So many big celebrities.
Son!
Albert Brooks. Mike does the great Albert Brooks.
Son, thank you for playing it. I appreciate it. You finally put something on your program that we can all agree on. That's Jerry Reed.
But as you
that's
know,
an American. He's on my IPOD.
As you know, W is giving his big TV speech.
Bring it up, please.
Is that Tuesday night?
I don't know. They'll point me in the right direction. Tell me to look at the pieces of plastic, the prompter things, and they'll say, "Go, boy." And I think I'll say a lot that will get people to, tell me that I'm doing good, I think. I'm looking forward to it. It's a chance to talk to the American people.
which I endure doing, yeah. And to clear some things up. And
you know what,
there's some popular misconceptions out there that I'm not doing
an exquisite
job.
Right here.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
How are you, President Wells?
Way to keep me on my toes.
No,
thank you. Wait till the audit.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
This is something that someone sent over.
Mm-hmm.
This
you got a newspaper? I don't read that crap.
Hold on. It's not
another newspaper. There.
No.
Filled with ink. I put them in the bird cage.
Now, there's a picture of you and this guy. First name is Jack. And why you would name a kid...
Oh, man, come on.
You know, if the last name ends...
You're going to start bringing up that...
If the last name ends with off, why would you name the kid Jack? But,
you know,
here's a picture of you.
I've taken
someone from your office sent
man.
Over a picture of you with
someone
this guy.
Someone from my office sent you a picture of me and him.
Look, is that not you and him?
Yeah.
Okay.
How come you've
been denying it?
You don't understand.
What's that?
I'm not denying nothing.
Huh?
I've been taking pictures, thousands. Each and every day. You have to understand, I get my picture taken 8, 9, 10,000 times just around holidays alone. So if you're going to say he's a friend or has some influence, I don't even know this jerk. And all of a sudden, I'm associated because of pictures. I'm sure that I've had pictures taken with people a lot worse than that. In fact, I know I have. I have some of them on my wall in the office.
On your wall?
Yeah. I just don't understand. I've never actually seen myself speak, but I bet I talk good, too. All these things are confused. That's why I'm here to do your program, because I know that I can convince the American people that I am doing a better job than they think that I am. I saw some of the poll numbers, which I normally don't pay attention to, but it seems that there's a misconception of the war in Iraq.
Really?
And there's number two.
Yeah.
B. A. Wait, hold on.
You just said number two. You know what that means, right?
I'm a closet listener, and I enjoy your stuff when you talk about the, if I can say the word, poo. When you talk about poo, you talk about, son, a lot of things on your show. You talk about a lot of things that I do not approve of, but also, I tell you, I've said this to several people. I was talking to Carl the other day, and Carl was giving me my talking points for the day, and I said, man,
Carl,
I know you don't like... I know you don't like me listening to that show, but I'll tell you, they get on something about poo. I can't stop laughing about it because it's fun. You know, who doesn't laugh about that? I remember I was a little kid, I used to laugh about that, about poo. Everybody does. Everybody laughs about it.
Here's something we talk about on the show.
Yeah.
You know what number one is, right?
Yeah. Of course I do. Yeah, that's the same thing, number one and two.
No.
You know what you do? Can I just give you a compliment? I'd like to pay you a presidential compliment.
All right, sure.
I don't get a chance to hear all of it. I listen to your show. Occasionally, I will listen to your show when I'm relaxing or I'm riding my bicycle. And I listen to your show at the beginning, and you do that thing about the stream. I swear to God, that is without question. I know you're making a joke about number one, right? Is that what it's when you're talking about it? And you'll say to Mike,
"That's right."
You'll get on, Don, when you're talking. You'll say to Mike, "How does it look today?" And then you said one time you came on and you said, "I can't drink it. I couldn't even ride the bicycle up the hill, my mountain bike."
Yeah. All right, so let me get you on this one,
David.
You know
Aunt
what,
David?
You know what number one is? That's funny.
That's very funny. Also,
number two is funny.
And you can't. I understand with the law. It's very important nowadays for me to say you have to be within the law, and you can't talk about some of the things you used to talk about, and you understand that. That's all right.
Do you know what number three is?
No, write it down.
Can I give you a hand motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
don't.
That's three.
That's number three.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No, that's number three.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you. You know what? Scooter needs to be cheered up.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to jail. And I'm going to call him and I'm going to tell him that he loves that kind of stuff. That's Jesus.
You've not done anything wrong. You know what? Don't answer the phone today.
No. I won't. I will ignore it.
Good for you, Mr.
But if it's you know who, it will continue to ring. Here. How about this? How about do a quick pick up and hang up?
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. You won't be hearing it ring. Now, if it rings again, it's her.
Uh-huh.
If it's her, it's the silver...
Is your mom?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Hey, hi, Mama. Yep. Yeah, I did. It relaxes me. I did it every year for the past years that I've been president. I go on his show before the
before I talk to the people in Congress.
State of the Union.
State district. State of the what?
Union.
State of the Union.
State of the Union, mommy. You know, he does make.
Excuse us.
Okay.
He doesn't make me out the fool, mama.
Hey,
he don't make me out the fool.
Hold on 1 second. Sorry, hold on 1 second.
Hold on, mama.
Yeah.
What? Where's number three come out of?
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I gotta talk to her now. You're killing me. No more. Don't make that gesture.
Hello, mama. What? No. I'm not making fun. We're talking about... Yes, I do. I used to laugh at it with Dad, too. You know that. He made those jokes. I am sorry. I'm not raising my voice, mama. I love you, too. I'll be here myself. Yes, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I don't...
Hey, George, look at my hand.
He does.
Look at my hand.
He does.
Look at my hand.
Mama. Mama, I'm sorry I'm laughing. Don's cracking me up. He is funny, Mama. I know you don't like him, but he is funny. I'm sorry. I'm raising my voice. I love you, Mama. Please just let me. Mama, I got to go. We're talking the State of the
Union.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it will be good. I've practiced. I'm practicing all weekend. I will pronounce all the words, Mama. I will rehearse them. Thank you. I'm not taking a tone with you, Mama.
Yes,
I'm not.
You are.
I am. I'm sorry. Mama, yes, I will go over it with you the night before. Uh-huh. I will underline the red parts. The parts I have to emphasize. The words, the big words.
Hey, George. Yes, hold on 1 second.
On. Mama, excuse me.
Have you ever thought about your mom and number two? Like your mom? Heaven number two.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, no.
You ever thought about that?
Don!
You ever thought about
that? Stop it! You're going to get me in so much trouble. We are in trouble already if you're talking about that.
Mama, don't do that.
That was the rule around the house.
She does.
Mama, don't do that.
She do.
That's the rule around the house. Mama, don't do that ever. Hello?
She's gone. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, boy. She hung up. That is not good to do to Mama.
No, nope.
But you made me laugh. I know she did, but you know what I mean. She doesn't, right?
I know what you mean.
She always preferred Jeb anyway. She always gives me such a hard time. Let me pull my seat back up. You're all making right. Me jump up and down out of my chair because I'm thinking, you know, I thank you. Because it's an opportunity to come in here and talk seriously for a little bit, but then talk fun and talk about good things and a good laugh. Everybody should have a good laugh. And I've tried to make people laugh.
All right, then seriously.
Around. I really do.
Now that we've got you off, now that you're in your last
place.
Can
I throw a compliment out to your radio station?
You relax.
I've never missed Peter Rosenberg. He is awesome.
Wow.
Pass that along. He's a good show.
You like Jay Severin?
I like the whole lineup.
You like Bill O'Reilly?
Man, I've always liked him. He's a good man.
Sure.
Good man. Knows his stuff and good American. I'm misunderstood. All right? See, but please, can I make one request because I'm a little distracted?
Sure.
No more talk of Mamo's grunties, okay? I mean, everybody does a grunty. We know that. You do a grunty once, you know, but I just, that's funny. That's my favorite stuff, you know? It really is.
All right, so how many people are writing the speech for you for Monday night?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I just get it. What they'll do. I'll walk you through it.
Okay.
I'll get it tomorrow morning. The final draft.
Friday is today, so tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah, I'll get it
3 days before the speech.
I'll get it and study it, and you know, you study it and you read it. I'll get halfway through it.
Don't you read it off the plastic when you get down there? Don't you just read it off the plastic, George?
I wish I could quit you.
What?
Man, he knows me. Yeah. Rob,
I
come in here and he looks at me, and I tell you, we could use you in the White House because you come in and you know. How do you know that? Everybody thinks I read it beforehand. I say, give me, the president is going to Camp David or going here or there to, you know, Crawford down to work on his
right,
feet.
Right.
You know, and the fact is, I said this to Carl in private. I'll say it to you now because the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
I said, Carl, look me in the eye and tell me why I have to pre-read something that's going to be on plastic, that's going to be rolling up in front of my eyes when I have to read it. And he says, because, Mr. President, you should know the subject matter. I said, I don't have to know the subject matter. I know generally it's the same stuff that they put in my ear and that I memorize, you know, when I have to go out and talk to everybody. So I said, just put it up on the plate, and I'll read that plastic dinner plate when I get up in front of them, and I do a good job. I've gotten better at it, which is important. When I shut the door, I'm busy playing my... playing my Atari. That's what I do.
I tell you right now. And, of course, it's Tonight is the night. We can't study on the speech tonight. No studying on the speech tonight.
Why?
GSMYNM.
What?
Oh, come on now. You watch it.
Was that some kind of code? Come on. TS.
What? Trading spouses, meet your new mommy. Come on. You're not watching that?
No, I don't watch that.
It's a good show, son. They almost came to fisties. You know, they got, sometimes you get this lady, they'll have an argument. You know, they send one mamo to another house to live with the bad mamo or the good one. It's complicated.
Now, what about Iraq? Let's just spend a second on Iraq.
Company line?
Truth.
Man.
Come on.
You always ask that tough question.
Truth.
Well, we're getting our ass handed to us, son. That's the truth.
Okay, then why don't you just come out and say it?
That would not be prudent.
No.
That would not be feasible.
How about if you came out and you said to the American people, because you could balance it. You could say, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Here's the bad news, that we're getting our ass kicked in Iraq. Mm-hmm. In Iraq. Here's the good news. Number two is so funny. I double dog dare you.
If Carl would let me do it, I would get out there and I'd make number two jokes all the time. You know, I could do it because maybe if I, but this is fun. I'm not going to be able to do this for real, but I could see. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of the
Union
is strong. And you know what else is strong? It's really, really strong when Teddy Kennedy has a big old grunty. Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, man, I'm telling, they'd all laugh. They wouldn't care. We wouldn't have to worry about saying things that is controversial. Yeah. Carl hates talking about grunties. Doesn't have a sense of humor like that. Doesn't like it. Hello.
Not alone.
Boy, did you sell again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, maybe it's dead.
I know.
Now.
I did not.
Daddy, she was making fun of me on the phone. She wasn't.
I know.
I didn't.
Daddy, I didn't mean it.
What happened?
No.
Would you piss
off
your mom?
I don't want to talk about it. Hold on.
Did you piss off your mom?
Just let me finish this.
Okay.
I'm sorry, sir. I will not make that mistake again.
I can't even make the funny hand motion now.
You are right. Please forgive
me. Look at him. He's puckered.
Yes, sir. I understand.
Boy, this is like he's talking to somebody about something important. Like,
count on it.
Osama bin Laden.
I will not have it happen again, sir. Goodbye.
Is that your dad?
Dad, do this hurt us? But we cannot. Can I just talk to you without the mics on?
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna do that thing.
Yeah.
Let's take 60 seconds for this public service announcement.
60 seconds.
All right. Let's take 60 seconds.
And clear.
Are we clear? Are we off the air?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's up?
You cannot take jokes about that and Mamo in the same. You can't talk about Mamo making poo
grunts.
You can't. Even though it makes me laugh, I can't. Dad, who heard it, and someone told me you and I were making poo jokes, and he told me I can't do that. He said I can make them. I can make poo jokes, but I can't make poo jokes about Mamo anymore.
Right.
All right? Please don't do that. I know you have to make people laugh, but you understand. You know I like it. I think it's funny, but I can't.
Hey, how about your dad? You ever think about your dad? On Air Force One?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet.
We're coming back.
Man, we're coming back?
Yeah, we're coming back. Hey, you ever think about your dad doing this?
Oh, no, that's gross. Oh, don't do that.
We're back. We're back with President Bush.
I'm very glad to be here. What a fun time we're having with everybody at the Not a Mike Show. I hope you all tune in to the big address as we address the State of the
Union.
Union.
Yep,
State of the Union.
Looking forward to it. And I think people understand my policies more clearly. When I get done doing the State of the Union.
Union.
Yeah. Why are you holding up two fingers?
I'm giving you the peace sign.
Two down there.
It's peace.
Like that. Oh, I love to laugh.
I was just giving you the peace sign, for God's sake.
No problem.
Are you going to answer that? Or?
Yep.
All right. Hold on.
Yellow. I understand that. You're the man. I do whatever you want. No, I'm not. I'm having fun. Yep, I will. I'll tell him exactly the same thing I told you. We're going to be fine. We're going to be straight. Absolutely.
Who's this? No problem. This is his dad again?
No. You're the boss. I'll do what you said. I will do that. You're the boss.
Maybe it's Cheney.
Right. Thank you. Goodbye.
I don't know.
Rove. Who was that?
It was Carl.
Ah. What's up with Dr. Evil?
He's writing a speech, with a couple other fellas. Just said he'll be ready tomorrow morning, and he'll do that thing where he brings it down to me, and I say, I'll take a look at it, work on it, and make my changes over the weekend. And then what I do is I take red pen, and I go into the margins, and I put some dots here and circle some words here. I don't pay attention to what they are, and I just say, I made some adjustments here, change this, change that, and then they change it, and then you know, whole thing's the same basically anyway, and I read the plates.
Okay, rapid fire.
The plastic plates, yes.
We got 1 minute before we break. Rapid fire.
You want the truth, rapid fire, or the company line? I got them both memorized.
Both. Rapid fire. What are you going to do about Social Security in America? Go. Company line.
Company line. Social Security is going to be around for as long as I'm president.
Truth. Truth.
Truth. It's toast.
Okay.
They're old anyway.
Gas prices seem to be going up again. We're talking about having more stoppages. What is your feeling on gasoline prices?
It is important in this country that we become self-sufficient and do not rely totally on import. We do not want to rely on foreign oil.
Which means bringing in import or export?
Export.
Bringing in?
Import.
That good boy.
Thank you, Tudor. We're trying to become less reliant on foreign oil. Hopefully we will be able to do that.
Okay, now, truth.
Truth.
The Iraq War. I think we've covered this, but just very briefly, the Iraq War.
We must stay the course so that the Iraqi people can be free.
But that's the company line, right?
Company line.
Truth.
Oh, truth?
Yeah, truth.
And no way I can get out of there and make me look bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then finally, truth first, please.
Truth.
Number two.
Funny.
Too funny. Always funny. Dog's doing it funny. Mama doing it funny.
It's always funny. Funniest thing I think. I really do.
Hold on. One more.
Yeah.
Let me just say, we'll take the first two calls.
All right.
At 877-365-3636.
I'm having a hell of a time. Good. All right. This is a good time. I tell you, this is almost as fun as when I was drinking.
How about your wife? How about your wife?
Two? I've seen it.
Yeah!
This is a hell of a time, man. It's more fun than bull riding. I'm truly enjoying myself right now.
I called out for a low budget Jeopardy.
Yeah, and no idiots this time.
Right, follow the parameters.
And also, I hope you come back to Idol, Don. I truly do. I watch it every week.
You watch it.
It's American Idol. Remember that, son.
It's going to be on right before your show next week, right?
Oh, is it?
I think is it American Idol on at 8 and your show is on at 9?
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Oh, God, no!
A great lead-in.
It's on before me. I can't watch it. I'm driving to the big building.
You can TiVo it.
TiVo it.
Watch it later.
That's what I don't like about you, Buzz. Your newscast, and I don't like your your newfangled thinking. Always with the idea. You can TiVo it. Yeah, I like one. If it's not on the box, and I can't turn it on right now, I'm not going to go through some complicated recording machine.
Hey, you know
he's going to put that on.
You know what he's full of?
What's that? Number two. Yeah! Hey, Buzz, you're full of two.
I know you'd like.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
First, let me make it very clear. Poor people aren't necessarily killers. I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
You bet I cut the taxes at the top. That encourages entrepreneurship. What we Republicans should stand for is growth in the economy. We ought to make the pie higher.
I'm not so sure 80% of the people get the death tax. I know this, 100% will get it if I'm the president.
The Don and Mike Show.
I stand by that.
This is for you.
Oh, man, this is the best song in the whole wide world. Thank you, Don Geronimo. I wanna
tell you what. Out of the mouths of tards comes the Don and Mike Show.
Jeannie C. Riley, you played that for me a lot. I like that.
We're here with W. We're ready to play a little low-budget Jeopardy.
I went to see, I didn't go to see it to bring the films into me. I saw that one about Johnny Cash. He doesn't look anything like that.
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix?
Nah, it's crap. Most stuff comes out of Hollywood. Crap. Horrible. Horrible, 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 horrible.
I bet you liked... Did you like Alive? Was it Screaming and Kicking with Will Ferrell where he was the soccer coach?
No, I like Monster-in-Law.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know what I bet you're jacked about this weekend?
What's that?
Big Mama's House 2.
Oh! That is a slam dunk comedy. He puts the fat suit on, and he is so funny. Except the language. I'm supposed to say that. That's the way I feel about it. But here's to all our actors and actresses. I don't know why I said that. I just did. I like Matt O'Gascar. That was good, that cartoon.
Hey, what about the fag movie?
I don't know what you're talking
the
about.
The faggot cowboy movie?
I haven't seen it. Ain't seen it.
Brokeback Mountain.
I'm a rancher, but I haven't seen it.
But come on.
I wouldn't go see that. Two guys crawling on each other on their behinds.
Dude. Let's play the game here, Jerry.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. I'm your president hosting this today. And now entering the studio is a housewife from Las Vegas. Let's say hi to Leah Kep.
Hey, Leah.
How's it, guys?
Hi there, honey. How's it?
And now entering the studio is our second challenger, a network engineer from Ashburn, Virginia. Let's say hi to Eric Medlin.
I think it's Ashburn, not Ashburn. Hi, Eric.
Sorry.
Hello, LQ. Hello, Mr. President.
Howdy. Thank you. And now coming in the studio is the host, Low Budget Jeopardy, Lee. And Eric, don't mess with the LQ. And say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo right now, son.
All right, kids. I already feel this will go better than last Friday.
Excelente. Yeah.
Here we go. Here are your categories.
Vaya con Dios.
Your categories are...
I speak Spanish. I am in fuego.
Gorgeous Georges.
All right. Oh.
This week on the Don and Mike Show...
I'm good at that. I listen to the front part.
And How Soon We Forget.
All right. Good. We I like have, all them categories. I can have, understand. Not like some of those ones you put where I can't understand them.
Gorgeous Georges.
Gorgeous Georges.
This week on Don and Mike.
Yes.
It's our show. And How Soon We Forget. Let's see.
Play.
Leah, you're a girl. We like girls better than boys. We'll start with you.
Okay. I'll take How Soon We Forget.
How Soon We Forget. Uh-huh. Champions of Super Bowl XXX1X. That is Super Bowl 39, incidentally.
Who are...
Oh. Eric, your chance to steal.
Who are the New England Patriots?
There you go. And already we are off to a better start than we were last week.
$1 for you, Eric. You better go again there and select again.
How soon we forget for $2.
Don't say what. I'm your president. Show me some respect.
The losers of Super Bowl XXXIX. That's, again, Super Bowl 39.
Leah, your chance to steal.
Who are the Philadelphia Eagles?
Now,
$2. There you go.
How good is that for a girl?
That's awesome.
And Eric, why not just go to Brokeback Mountain? I mean, you remember that the Patriots won, but you don't remember that they beat the Eagles.
Number forget. Two, Eric. All right, Leah, you're in control. Slip again.
Okay, I'm going to go for Gorgeous Georges.
Now, you got to stay in the same category.
Sorry. How soon we forget, please?
Four?
For 300.
No, just for three.
No.
And George?
Yeah.
She said for three.
Three? Oh, three. Three. Yeah. I did the gesture.
Mm. Trying to get you in trouble, Mr. President.
You can, darling.
They won the World Series in 2005.
Who are the Eagles of Anaheim?
Eric, your chance to steal.
For the Houston Astros.
No.
Negative, how soon we forget. Right. The Shy Sox.
The Chicago White Sox. I called them. I called Oz again. He has an accent. Yeah. Leah, you're in control.
Okay, I'll take Gorgeous Georges for one.
Please. Gorgeous Georges. Lead singer of Wham or noted equestrian.
Who is George Michael?
$1.
King George.
Yeah, King George. I know him. He's the sportscaster.
He'll learn how to take a fall.
He's orange. All right, select again, Leah.
I'll take Gorgeous Georges for two.
He invented Star Wars.
Who is George Lucas?
$2 for you. Moving along, Leah. You're taking the lead. Go ahead, darling.
I'll run the table on Gorgeous Georges, please.
There you go. Norm from Cheers.
Who is George Wendt?
Wow.
George Wendt has run the category just like she predicted.
Where were you last week, darling, when we were asking these retarded questions and we had two mongoloids on the phone?
I was listening to you on my car radio thinking, I could play this so much better.
Mm-hmm. They were retarded.
They were.
Hey, President Bush.
Yeah.
Aren't retarded people funny? And you know what's even funnier?
Jeepers creepers.
You know what's even funnier? You got a tard. Number two.
Number two and tard.
Oh, yeah.
I love this show. I do indeed. Select again, Leah.
I'll take this week on Don and Mike for one.
And you know what else?
What?
A huge mess.
Man, you better stay away from me if I'm at a party.
Last category on the big board. This week on the show, here we go. Oh, out of three, Joe Ardinger got this number of IQ questions correctly.
What is one?
What is a one?
No. Eric, the chance to steal.
What is two?
No.
Giving him too much credit. Joe got zero.
Zero.
Zilch.
El.
Nil.
Goosego.
Bagel.
Leah, you're in control.
Okay, I'll take this week on Don and Mike's show for two.
It's a new great... Excuse me. It's the new gay crave for single men in New York City. We discussed it on Way Out There.
What is...
Oh, now you bitch. You should have known that. I said that in a gay way. I said bitch in the
Eric,
gay way.
Eric, your chance to steal.
I have no idea.
No.
You are listening. It's men's knitting night.
Knitting night. How silly is that? You know, next thing they're going to do, what are they going to do? Dress night? Wear dresses? Ballet? Leah, you're in control.
Okay, I'll take this weekend Don and Mike for three.
All right, last one on the board. The reason that I had to call 1-800-588-2300-EMPIRE.
What is your power was out?
Eric, your chance to steal.
Because you needed new floors.
No, you have to be more specific.
I know. Oh.
Yes.
You spilled paint on your carpet.
Right.
Yeah. That's the correct answer.
White paint.
What do I get?
White paint on the shag carpeting in Frida's old girl room.
What do I get? Number two?
Yeah. You got an endless supply of it, don't
sure
you?
We all do, don't we?
You know, if you,
we all do, Rob.
If only you could get our automobiles.
To run on number two? That'd be funny and it would work. No, couldn't do that. My buddies would hate me if I did that.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for final low-budget Jeopardy.
All right, it is.
Now, who's got what, W?
Eric has $1 and Leah has $8 on low-budget Jeopardy with George.
She's kicking your ass, Eric, but you can come back.
Ass.
This is where we physically force you both to bet it all. Good luck, and here's your category. Oh, it's easy. 22 years ago today... So this would be on January 27, 1984. You're doing that thing with your mouth.
Yeah, I'm chewing my cheek. I chew my cheek a lot.
Uh-huh. Michael Jackson suffered severe burns on his head while making a commercial for this tasty product. Michael Jackson had burns on his head while shooting a commercial for this tasty product 22 years ago today. Don't forget, both of you answer in the form of a question and a good luck. Oops. I mean... Good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive my George book, Photo Essay, A Crawford State of Mind. You'll love this book, filled with pictures of what I believe is the most beautiful place on earth.
Crawford?
Crawford, Texas.
Yeah.
This book will make you feel like you're really in Crawford, right in the middle of the summertime. It's got tons of good pictures of dry bushes, my gravel driveway, sweaty work shirt, my mountain bike, an armadillo carcass, and some dead trees. I'm out. That's it. Back to Low Budget Jeopardy.
Okay, George.
It's
game time now on JFK with cash for you. So pretty. It's time for Joan Crawford, Texas.
I love it. I wish I could stay there all the time.
Me too. All right, let's go to Eric first. Eric, 22 years ago today, Michael Jackson burns on his head, made a commercial for this tasty product.
What is Pepsi?
Right.
You double your score to $2, Eric.
Now, here we go. Leah, you can totally kick his ass all the way out of the stadium if you have the right answer.
What is Pepsi?
And that means that Leah Kep, you are a whole bunch of Jeopardy champions.
Winner! Yes, look at that. We have none of the anger of last week's episode.
Right. Yes.
Two fine contestants. And that means that, Leah, you win some money. You get to come back. Eric, parting is such sweet sorrow. Adieu. Don't get mad. Don't go away, mad. Just go away. Here now is President Bush to sort all of this out for you. W.
All right, Leah, we double your score 16 with throw 25, and we had a total of 41 for you. 41 American greenbacks for you, Leah Kep.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And, Eric, I know you didn't make no money now, but let me see what we got here for you. They handed me to sing the rhythm. Right. You got them a WWE Royal Rumble prize pack.
That's right.
Don't miss WWE Royal Rumble prize live on Sunday, January 20th, only on in-demand pay-per-view. Call your local Comcast or Cox Cable system now to order. Digital customers enjoy easy ordering
digital
using your lighting. Digital remote. Congratulations, Derek. Thanks for playing the game, son.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, both of you.
That's fun. I like that.
Thank you, Eric and Leah. Thank you. And also, thank you.
I give them the pictures of Crawford, too, the pretty pictures.
Oh,
the beautiful
thank
place.
You to, Joe. Dewey had a Joe for getting the callers to play the game this week. And,
I got a roll. I got a busy weekend. Got to go watch Meet Your New Mommy and have me a can of chili.
And rehearse the speech.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
Right. That's what I'll be doing.
You know what happens after chili?
Yeah. A bad time, right? Big. Poopy. God, I love that. You can do that all day long. Rob's waving in front of his face like something stinks back.
Oh, now, why are they going to call? It's time for the news.
I'm not sure I want to pick that up.
I think you better answer it. You are, okay, but come on.
Could be important.
You're the leader of the free world.
Hello. I know, man. I did not I didn't say anything about you, though.
Hold on.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
I don't want to.
He made it up.
It was Buzz.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hey, what are your lead stories tonight?
Tonight, the government knows what you eat and who you are.
Okay.
Now you can also not get sex at work.
He's just listening.
I never mentioned your bag.
And how surfing porn on the job got one man a raise.
No. I don't want to, Mamo. I didn't.
Your Mamo has a bag?
I'm not yelling at you, Mama. I get sad.
Hey,
I have a lot of things to do.
Hey, George.
Yeah, hold on a sec. Yeah.
Your Mamo has a bag?
Shut up.
A bag for two?
Shut up. Yeah. All right, I got to go. I won't let it happen. I'm off the show anyway, Mamo. I'm not on it anymore. They're
You're on.
No, they got the faggot newsman coming on. They had a one. Yes, at the commie.
That's the one.
Right on. Okay, I'm sorry, Mama. I love you. Bye. Yeah. She just said, Mama, P's and Q's. I never knew what that means. P's and Q's. P.
Stay tuned for news
comment
and comment coming up on the Don and Mike
coming
Show.
Coming up, Buzz News. I bet you got a nice big full segment.
Yeah.
No interruptions.
Comment News coming up. You watch your P's and Q's.
Except for us interrupting. No commercials interrupting here.
Wow, cool. Yeah, one of these days a black Suburban's going to pull up in front of your house and you're going to go away for a while.
I know.
Hey, number two, that was very...
Professional number two!
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
30 seconds here before we play the crackpot tape and get to Buzz's news.
All right.
Little inspiration.
Now, this is a weirdo from way back, 1956. If you've never heard this song, it might scare you. It's Clarence Frogman Henry, and I ain't got no home.
Oh, I ain't got no home.
I love this.
WPGC and the Sunday night two-hour oldies show. I'm your host, Scott Shannon. Our next gentleman was born in Rio de Janeiro. His lifetime goal was to become a world-famous singing star.
Buzz Burbank.
We want to get rocked.
Oh, hold on. Did we do the Planet Crackpot?
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Up, handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
When they lay it out, they play it out.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Buzz News and Comments tonight brought to you by Hard Times Cafe. All the great food you love to eat.
Great food.
Good people. Cheap prices. Hard Times Cafe. And now with News and Comments, here is gorgeous George Burbank.
Hi, Don and Mike. The government.
Hi, Gary.
Hi. The government has surveillance photos of suspected vegetarians. Sure, vegetarians hate it when you eat a big, thick steak scorched on the outside and blood red on the inside. And granted,
I'm a vegetarian.
Granted, a few of them could use hygiene lessons.
Use a spoon.
But still, why does the FBI have surveillance photos of these freaks protesting outside a honey-baked ham store? And who will the government photograph next, and why? Even the local Homeland Security office in DeKalb, Georgia, has pictures of the honey-baked ham incident.
Your constitutional rights no longer apply.
Exactly.
Jack, get over to Honey Baked Ham. There's some protest.
Perhaps the protesters were followed to the ham store by FBI agents because some of them had also been to an anti-war rally.
Wonder if any of those protesters were pigs.
The authorities also have pictures of the anti-war protests. One of the protesters, by the way, was arrested after she wrote down the license number of the unmarked government car from which the pictures were being taken. Turns out the government doesn't like to be spied upon. An FBI spokesman in Washington says the pictures were taken based on information that the protesters were either involved in or might have information about crimes.
What have you done?
There he is.
Hell, who doesn't have information about crimes? But those, as Joe would say, are apparently the parameters.
I'm tired of putting my ass on the line for nothing. I'm done putting my ass on the line for nothing.
I don't blame you, Jack. The toughest anti-smoking law in America has just passed into law in Calabasas, California.
Damn it!
The law even bans smoking outdoors in public spaces when other people are present.
Damn it!
I know you're unhappy, Jack. Smokers who ignore a non-smoker's request to snuff it get reported to the city attorney. And more California towns will follow suit now that the state's Environmental Protection Agency has declared cigarette smoke a toxic pollutant. Quoting one smoker, no skateboarding, no rollerblading, you can't swim in the lake. It's like the Truman Show. Everything looks really nice, but you can't live life. And as we all know, smokers more than anyone else want to live life.
But, you know, really, ain't it true that you reach a point when you think, okay, if they want to get a rule for bars and restaurants,
right?
You know, as they've done in Delaware, they've lost a lot of business, I know, at bars up there where you can't smoke.
Right.
Where you can go outside and smoke. It's not what they're going to regulate it now, so you can't go outside and smoke.
If somebody says to not smoke, right. You know, if somebody wants to give you a hard time about it, they can't do that.
They can do that.
You know, why do we need laws if people are just human beings and would say, you know, how about a law that if somebody asks you not to smoke, you don't smoke for until they're gone?
How about people just be courteous?
Yeah,
that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
How about, I mean, if we got laws about smoking, really, and I'm not a big one to have a cigar at the dinner table with anybody,
right.
But there certainly are a lot of things that people do that piss me off,
sure.
That annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about this? How about a law that says no fat pigs eating their shrimp cocktails with their fingers and then licking their fingers at the table?
Bingo, no finger licking.
I find that to be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
When you lick your fingers while you're eating at a restaurant.
Oh, ma'am, excuse me. The gentleman over there indicated to me that you have licked your fingers. You'll be reported to the city attorney.
Wouldn't that be great? Imagine that. Radar detectors illegal in Virginia. Has no one fought that? Yes, someone has, and they appear to be succeeding. The Virginia House of Delegates is pushing to repeal the state's ban on the possession of a radar detector. For decades, it's been Virginia's little joke on people from the rest of the 49 states where radar detectors are legal.
Hey, don't forget, you do see those huge signs.
Are we the only state?
The only state in the union.
When you go from Maryland or the District of Columbia into Virginia, you've seen huge signs that radar detectors are illegal.
Even, I had no idea.
Even Kansas knows better than this.
Wow.
Virginia always claimed that the ban was aimed at saving lives, but in some states now, and we wouldn't know this because we live here, but this is what I've read. The cops actually use radar pulses to warn drivers about road hazards. It's a way of actually, the police are actually using it for a positive purpose at this point in other parts of the country. And while the rest of the country worries about lobbyists, lawmakers in Virginia have reason to be worried about guns. A 63-year-old...
I'm going to turn my radar detector on right now.
All right.
What do you
see what happens? There's a warning tone right there.
There's a pulse. There's a radar pulse.
Hold on. And... Columbus, Ohio. That's where Gary Berghoff is right now.
Oh, it tells you where radar is in any given
time. I'd like to say I like that joke.
Radar? And it took me a while to get into it. I kind of missed it on the first go.
I was Bob Dole talking to radar there at the beginning, Mike.
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Wrong register.
Too long.
Sorry.
Money.
Picked up the wrong instrument out of the case. It's the worst Gary Morgan I've ever done.
A 63-year-old. Yes. A 63-year-old Republican state delegate, Jack Reed, keeps a...
Why are you lying to me?
Republican lawmaker Jack Reed here in Virginia keeps a tiny...
Hold on. All right. Where was he? Hold on. I just had him. Buzz, give me a second.
Sure, Mike.
All right. Probably Billy Big Voice. He's there.
He should be there now.
Okay. I know you're talking about the dude who had the gun, right?
Right. Republican state lawmaker here in Virginia keeps a tiny automatic handgun in the breast pocket of his suit jacket. even while he's at work in the state capitol. That's one way to stop a filibuster. Yesterday, as he was ejecting the clip to unload the gun accidentally went off in his office, and the bullet went spiraling toward the door. There could have been Boy Scouts on the other side of that door, one of their many tours of the Capitol. It could have been another lawmaker. It could have been anybody, except for one thing. Last year, the sheriff in Reed's hometown had given him a bulletproof vest as a gag gift. Apparently, the police have more bulletproof vests than they need and give the extras away as gag gifts. Anyway, this gag bulletproof vest just happened to be hanging on the back of lawmaker Reed's door, and it caught the bullet.
I saw this tool on TV after all this happened.
Is he a turbo redneck?
No, he's a balding guy. Looks like he could be an insurance guy.
Right.
And he's wearing like a corduroy jacket with leather patches on the sleeves. And this poor tool is standing in front of these, you know, first off, what the frig are you doing with a gun?
In the state house. Right.
He says, very Hughes-like.
Right.
He says, this is an unfortunate situation, and I'm really going to have to rethink bringing my gun. I do have a permit for it, though.
Good
God, the weasel.
Yeah, God. So the bullet didn't go through the door and kill anybody because the vest was hanging on the back of the door. Just happenstance this time. Reed says he carries the gun for security. But I, for one, am worried about him.
Yeah, if he doesn't shoot himself.
Not everyone at work is having an affair, but you don't have to look far.
Oh, everyone here is.
You bet everybody.
The latest study.
And I'll tell you right now, I've got no problem saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Howard?
Yes.
You're the best. Climb on top of me, Dave Howard.
I wish I could quit you. Why do you think he's always brushing his teeth?
Yeah. He's doing it for Don.
With your love.
Mm-hmm.
The latest study says office relationships.
Can I say hello while we're on the subject? Well,
sure.
Because I really have to.
Go ahead.
Hi, Bear.
Oh, Granville.
I didn't know he was taken.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll stay away.
Yeah.
Bear is
one of our new engineers.
Yes.
Incidentally.
Great
Funny
engineer.
Assistant.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Someone should tell him, though. Is it okay to wear PJs to work?
With him?
Yes.
Sure.
The latest study says...
I'm sure it's something like Sean John, or Sean, yeah. Or whatever.
It's designer.
Yeah,
you bet it's designer.
P. Diddy stuff, but I saw him walking down the hall the other day. Rob, who's that dude? And he said, that's Bear. That's
Bear.
Bear. Bear.
I like Bear a lot.
Said, why is he wearing his PJs to work?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a winter cabana suit.
It was amazing. It's
Does
all
that
matching.
Make sense?
He dresses to please.
It was yellow on yellow.
That's
yellow.
Part of my attraction to him.
I think we should all wear them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should dress like him.
I'll try. Next week.
Next week.
I will. Well, I got to shop this weekend. The latest study.
Shop for what?
For clothes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. For his yellow PJs.
The latest study says office relationships, be they romantic or just sexual, increased by 20% last year. This does not necessarily...
Thank you!
You're welcome. This does not necessarily increase your chances for a nooner, because the study says there were, in the past year, three times as many sexless at-work marriages. That is to say, two people at work who've become intimate without ever having sex. More after this phone call.
Intimate without having sex?
Yeah. I'll explain in a moment.
All right.
Oh, come on now. On.
Too many rings.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Where's the
VM? It's an office. You ought to have two. You ought to have two rings.
Where's the VM here?
Jessica Baker is not available at the moment.
Oh.
At the tone, record your message. To end your recording, press number sign. To reach an operator, press 0.
I'll meet you at McDonald's. Meet you in the parking lot of McDonald's tonight, my sweet.
That's the discreet location.
I'll meet you by the back of the dumpster. We can do it by the Big Mac wrappers.
Oh!
Well, am I going to be on this Jessica Island alone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What? Like, I'm the only guy that's banging her right now. I'm the only guy in this room that's banging her.
Currently.
You always go first.
Okay. Currently.
Okay. Thank you for being the one.
He lumbered up to the microphone for some reason. I was waiting for him to say something.
Thank you for being the one man to step up and announce that we've all had our way with her.
And besides, you knew she wasn't here. Friday is the Mensa meeting night.
There you go. Oh.
But now, Jessica, that was Rob.
That was Rob, and he's bitter. He's bitter because it's
that
just
was
John now. We know it's
bitter.
Exclusive.
That's right. Bye, Jessica.
Bye-bye.
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 One man, woman.
Shut up. God. That's so, why he came up to just give it to Jessica, and not in a good way.
Yeah, not give it to her.
Like you were talking about.
He just
wanted to give her a hard time. Well, nothing sounds good now.
No, it doesn't.
Tell you what, we need to take a break here.
No, we don't. You've got time. Go ahead.
Okay.
Start this thing again.
All right.
Men and women having
I want to hear
sex
about sexless
at work.
Marriages. Okay, as I said, business relationships, their affairs, they're up by 20%. Yes.
Give you a little friendly advice
on
Friday.
Sure.
Slow down.
Okay. Well, I'm setting up here. I'm excited, and I'm just setting up to dive back into the story.
Buzz is excited.
Chill, Bill.
And so these relationships are up 20%, threefold increase in the number of sexless at work marriages, they're calling them. Not really marriages.
Well, why not just get married in real life if you're going to have a marriage without sex?
I think that'll be sexless anyway.
That's the point of the story, I think. Two people at work who've become intimate without having sex. Quoting a researcher at a career consulting company, you're deeply emotional with a colleague, possibly more than a spousal relationship at home. You give in a way you might not at home. He says that also having a spouse at work can make you happier, improve your chances for promotions, and for raises. The great thing about the sexless at-work marriage, he says, there are no strings. It doesn't work out. You go pick out another office spouse. No divorce necessary.
All right, well, no strings.
You can, he says, even have several at-work spouses.
Okay.
What, Mike?
Just without the sex.
Nothing. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, go ahead. What? Say it. What? Say it.
I just wish I was down in Carolina right now for something. I don't know. I just got to thinking all that talk about sexless marriage.
There's no strings there.
Except
once a month.
Maybe not even that.
We're done in 20 minutes. You can be there by midnight. Mark Oldman of Vault Incorporated says about one in three of us has an office spouse and that most of us like the no sex part best of all. So now, as you said, you can also not get sex at work.
Well, Buzz, that's just, I know you're just reporting the news, but that's retarded. But
yes,
he's like, well, seriously, why would a guy, you know, trust me, he's married to Frida for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sex was not as often. You know,
rare.
It's the jelly bean thing.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
You start with the jar, you take one out every time you do it when you're married.
Sure.
Listen, if you want to be in a sexless marriage, just have a real marriage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, you're going to end up not having sex with her anyway.
I think it's whoever wrote this story ought to be taken out and flogged.
Well, I wrote it, but I blame the guy whose theory this is.
See you out in the hallway.
All right, Floggy.
I look forward to
it.
Hey,
what's next?
When we come back, I will tell you about the guy who got a raise for surfing porn at work, and we'll wrap it up.
Okay. So you got a story about Travis.
Don't give it away.
Come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. With an ensemble show, someone is going to be the spark plug. The Don and Mike program.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Sponsored again tonight by Frank's Red Hot Sauce Original and Buffalo Wing Flavors.
Oh!
Mike, take your weekend football party from the Dull Zone to the Flavor Zone.
Yeah.
That is Buffalo Wings, Frank's Red Hot Sauce.
Mm.
Perfect balance of flavor. I like it when they spell it the European way with the extra U.
Damn, damn, damn.
And he...
Damn.
Oh, she loves it. She put it somewhere it shouldn't go.
Well, that explains it. Finally, in Madison, Wisconsin, a parole officer who got fired for surfing porn on the job has now been rehired. And he got a raise. The record showed that Tom DeLeon had been spending about 4 hours a day on the Internet, including visits to X-rated websites.
And his brother Ponce.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
His union.
Probably everybody in their car was saying it at the same time as
Ponce
well.
Ponce de Leon. His union, this guy's union, fought the firing, saying that it's much too harsh for a first-time offense.
To be fired for watching porn on the computer.
One time. An arbitrator came up with a lighter punishment. After a one-day suspension, Tom has his job again. Of course, he's been off the job for a year now, so the city owes him $45,000 in back pay. And while he was gone, an automatic pay raise kicked in. Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thanks, Love you, Buzz. I think we got to go have a safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. Be back on Monday. Stand by. Carrot Top is coming up next. Tell us why nuclear war is good. On the greatest failure in the history of radio, the Titanic of radio, Free FM.
Woo-hoo!
That's it. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Okay, and you?
Don?
Yeah, Robbie.
Did I win the Billy Joel ticket?
Oh, and listen, Jim Nance. Guys. Hey, guys. Couldn't make it today, guys.
Just couldn't make it on time?
Hey, guys. I don't know. Did we even call him today?
He was busy. He had lunch and he had to walk a golf course with his friend.
That's true.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.